Monsieur Solvay, une question assez cool. Il n'y a pas de résultat. C'est à peu près maintenant. La démocratie pays, ils comprennent.
Non, mais je ne sais pas si c'est cool. Il n'y a pas mal de pays. Mais il n'y a pas de conflit.
Oh, okay. I thought it was resolved because I saw Induna, Bahoma, Neve, Michi, Lemos. But Legi. KKK.
Yeah, Langi is the
problem. That's very bad. I thought they were going to resolve it.
They were trying to mend the relations. Manje, KK has gone to High Court.
Okay, let us go and assist them. Mkhetho, you're going to be interim command.
Let's start with our meeting, colleagues, and it's going to be a long day. Close by close, though, won't kill us because, generally, there was no objection on many areas that you proposed. Two areas that we must address is the age issue. It's a bigger issue that we must address. How do we deal with the question of age, given the fact that the northern part of the country, they go for a lower age, the other part of the country, they go for 18 years old. We have to deal with this issue. And I hope so that when we engage, we'll be able to see what we can do. That's a big issue. Then all other clauses in the law, general proposed bill, that is. And given the fact that many people that we converted, they accepted the principles of the bill. In fact, very few people, if any, rejected the bill. Even in Northwest, where we were rejected with the coin sign one day. But I think they accepted the principle of the bill. In fact, throughout the country. I'm talking Yambos Nase Kokstad, they accepted the principle of the bill. And then simply means that all our provinces are very happy with the bill. Of course, they were angry, Stoller, that it took so long for us to deal with the issue that is killing our people. When as we deal with clause by clause, the lawyer, the parliamentary legal advice will be here also. She's just attending to another joint committee there. I think they will be through. And then when we are through with this one, I think she'll be around. We allow her some platform to raise some of the issues that she wanted to raise. But we'll start, colleagues, with the state law advisor, Harriet Mekwa. You are with us here, you take us through, and then we engage, and the Pumelele come in, then we deal it clause by clause. The department is here, Babu Stoll is here, and the team. Then we can then deal with this matter. Surely, I think it will take us 2 days to finalize this clause by clause. No, we should invite you then, state law advisors, Mrs. Harriet, to comment on the issues.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm Harriet Mekwa, as the chair has already said. And I think, Chair, as a point of departure, maybe we must have an approach. Are we going to deal with the issues that were raised by Parliament first, or are we going to shoot straight into clause by clause? Which will be the best one?
I think the issue that were raised by Parliament first, those events, so I will just do the details.
Thank you, Jeff. I think one of the concerns that Parliament has raised, Chair, was on Clause 1, was the issue of abduction. I think one of the concerns is that this issue is interrelated or interlinked with kidnapping, so why don't we remove the definition of abduction? However, our take on this one is that we cannot remove the issue of abduction because abduction is equally meant for kids. It's meant for children. When you remove children away from their parents, it's not the essence of putting abduction here was to make an emphasis on removal of children from their forceful removal of children from their family. So we believe that abduction should be retained, and the distinction between kidnapping and abduction serves the different purposes, and it should be as is. So, okay.
Yep. Are we going to have some questions?
I think as we go along, because otherwise it's too long, I think. Mm-hmm. If there are issues that we need some clarity in the abduction, I think it's a spending that we shouldn't remove. But,
okay.
Okay.
Yes, my question would be, I understand that abduction is the forceful removal of children from their parents. But then what about the 18-year-old who are forcefully taken to the initiation school? How do we then say it's an abduction or it's a kidnap?
I think it is excessive, ma'am. I think what this is intended is to say that children under the age of 18, they'll fall under the abduction. Abduction and kidnapping is the same essence. However, your question will be addressed by the second one, the latter one, the kidnapping.
Kidnapping applies to the elder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kidnapping, abduction comes to work. Madam?
Chair, thanks. Could I just get clarity? According to the definition that's been provided by the research unit, it says that the common law and statutory offences of abduction relate to specific instances regarding the removal of a child, and then it's italicized, for purposes of sexual intercourse or marriage. That's what the research unit says, that the statutory and the common law definition of abduction is. So there's a specific set of circumstances where abduction applies. The removal of a child for the purposes of customary initiation doesn't fall into that set of criteria, in which case the argument that's made here that it would fall into the offence of kidnapping then would be more valid. I just need some clarity as to whether or not that's in fact the case.
Here we have defined abduction in this clause, in this bill, according to how abduction is. Because we cannot go to the dictionary meaning or the common law definition. We're defining abduction in this to identify the specific cause.
But, Chair, just
a
follow-up if I may.
Isn't the forceful or unlawful removal of a child the same thing as the forceful or unlawful removal of an adult? How does it differ? Aren't both of them kidnapping?
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. We also had a lot of discussion about abduction versus kidnapping. what I would like to add is we try to make the definition specific to this piece of law. So whatever we are defining it to be will apply only to the customary initiation bill. So it doesn't matter what abduction or kidnapping means in other pieces of legislation. But this specific piece, we are making it very specific so everyone will know what we mean in the bill. So I think that might help.
Yes. Do we follow?
I think it's more complicating the matter because I think the law just recognizes one interpretation. I also still face that these are strong words, particularly for the initiation. So can't we find some any other words other than the adoption? Because if you say it is adoption, it's a criminalized issue that must fall, and it has its own definition even in the court of law. So how do you say now in the court of law it must be divided into, I'm not a lawyer, but this one is only meant for this. This one was only meant for that. Is it going to have different sentences as well?
Yeah, my... My view, it can't be correct that a certain way, specific use on the initiation is but when it comes to other, I don't think it's fine. Because the interpretation, kidnapping and adoption, I can't get that. I can't say adoption versus kidnapping. I'm lost. I'm confused.
I'm in the same position. I mean, I really am. I think that the definition that you provided of kidnapping here is sufficient to cover whether you are a child or an adult. I think we're all on the same page here, that we don't need to now try and force in a new definition of abduction that's specific to this book, because kidnapping covers the whole.
I thought she was raising an issue though, that for interpreting this law, once it is law, to be understood the way is in the context of the law.
Chair,
it's not a law of general application.
No, but it is a law of general application. I mean, we can only make laws of general application. But my point is that I don't know that we need to create a specific definition of abduction that only applies in this particular instance. When the definition of kidnapping, and this was what was raised by Justice when they were here, and I think they would be the best people to actually tell us on this, but they said kidnapping covers everything that we're trying to cover with abduction as well. So I don't know. I mean, we seem to be in pretty much agreement here that the definition for abduction is unnecessary and that we need to take the term abduction out of this piece of legislation and only refer to kidnapping where there is forced removal of a child or an adult.
Can we then pack the definition of abduction and we'll consult further with the department and the policy decision, because that is rather a policy decision on that one.
Okay. Very helpful for engagement. When it happens in Mayhem, in Botswana, or it happened in Tanzania, adoption application, all of us must understand it in order for us to implement. I think the lady from what is the professor, the doctor, someone from the police also came in before the police. She raised some of the issues that were very important for us in terms of them understanding what they are trying to do. And I think the consultation will be very helpful, and then we are going to visit them. Can we move on?
I think one of the other issues is that the issue on circumcision. The Parliamentary Research Unit was saying circumcision in South African context refer to male initiates only, and therefore the definition does not apply in respect of female initiates. What we had in the bill, what you had in the bill in relation to female child means the removal of the uterus by any means, and in relation to a male child means surgical removal of the foreskin, whether partially or wholly as part of the customary initiation process. However, Chair, I was very pleased today to meet with Contralisa so that we understand, because most of the things when we write, they are legally and constitutionally sound. However, we must ensure that this bill is operational and is very practical to our traditional leaders and our traditionalists who practice circumcision. So I was very happy with those engagements. However, they're not here. Then we suggest that we remove the female part of the initiation. And how do we remove that? Because female circumcision is still applicable in South Africa.
Okay. Isn't that what they call body mutilation, genital mutilation? May not be a legal term, though. I think it should cover both male and female anyway.
Yeah.
If it's still happening in a manner that is not proper, I think we should still include it. Yes.
I also want to add that it's important to take note that this bill is not gender specific. It's not male or female. It's intended to apply to both. Therefore, we elaborated on the definition of circumcision to cover both male and female.
Yeah.
Sorry, where did this amended definition of circumcision come from? I remember the discussion, but I can't remember who said that it only applies to males in the South African context. From a legal perspective, I don't think we had legal to say it only applies to males.
This was a submission from the National House of Traditional Leaders.
Okay, so legally then, Chair, sorry.
So legally then, Chair, it, I mean, what we put in this bill could then apply to both males and females, and I think the Children's Act covers both as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think we should leave it, by the way.
Yeah.
And the other issue was on the curriculum. It says the bill should not define curriculum as a traditional and cultural customs and rituals performed and taught at an initiation school are too sacred and secret for the public consumption. I think on this one, even though I tend to agree, because it becomes too explicit, and the nature of the initiation is, as much as we have to move away from patriarchy, but patriarchy still exists, but then the nature of this initiation are sacred, and do we then have to put a curriculum on it?
Okay. That come in.
Okay, if
you look at I understood, though, that the real issue was male circumcision. And then initiation is education. Initiation is education first, is circumcision. Some people do it through, I think, the Limpopo issue situation.
Mm.
Or to hospital, they do the initiation, the circumcision. And then they go to the mountain for education, for initiation, education. Then I thought the argument that members were putting forward, and many members of the community, was that the school, in terms of what is being taught there, can be secret. The secret is what you are doing there. But what you are taught about it, in fact, there are a lot of discussion about this. That now, why kids come out of the mountain, then suddenly they became criminals. Then some of them now, they're 54, 55, or 28. They don't respect teachers. That was an issue that was raised, that we should find a way of dealing with this thing in a manner that is much more helpful. Yes.
I think if members can have a look at clause number 15(1)(i), it provides for the specific protection of sacred and secret practices. That practices do not have to be disclosed as part of the curriculum. It is only the teaching and the social, human rights and social building and all of that that needs to be disclosed. So there's actually protection for sacred and secret.
The clause covers that. But the content of education can be
I agree that clause 15(1)(i) does cover the sacred and secret and does make provision for it. I just want to point out what clause 29(3)(a) says about curriculum. And it says that initiation teachings may include cultural and religious elements and should be aimed at teaching the initiates about their ancestry, belief systems, the challenges and responsibilities of adulthood, family values, national identity, nation building, and social cohesion. I don't think anything there could be considered
can't hide it.
Secret or sacred. I mean, yes, ancestry is important, but is it secret or is it sacred? And is it such that you want to hide it away from the rest of the world? But if there is something that's secret and sacred, 15(1)(i) makes provision that you can say, I'm not going to give you this information, and I hereby declare that it's not illegal or harmful. So I think that we've covered ourselves from that perspective. I do think that there is a need for some kind of oversight over what these initiation schools are teaching. For, to your point, if they are teaching them criminal practices, for argument's sake, then that's a problem. And this would give the PICC the power to just review the curriculum and say, yeah, we're okay with it, but there are some practices that are sacred or secret.
Duga, I know that you like secrets. We must even know what you are teaching or sharing.
Yeah, Chair, my...
You're doing what is, in fact, also can't be secret without Duga. It's very strange. Because anyway, in one meeting, Harriet, I didn't know then what you told her. This one. And then I think, of course, I was also a little bit in spirit. And then he ended up explaining the ancestry. I have never understood any culture that says it's secret to know the ancestry of people at all. It would be very strange. I thought people are very proud with their knowing their ancestry. In fact, we're joking right now with Mthethwa. It would be very, very fun anyway. Then the Bible can't be existing. Because in the totality of their history and ancestry of Jewish people. Then it would be very fun to hear that this man suddenly, you know, it is very secret for Jola to know who are the Jola. It would be a very secret way, and it doesn't work that way. Unless the secret, we are sure, I think at the legal side of things, talk, we are sure what should be secret. People were arguing very strong that the secret thing that should be there is the competition. That is secret. All other elements of it, in fact, they were very clear, 10% of issue is this. We must not use the 10% to cause havoc to the 90% that is there by people. They were very clear on this thing. Also. I would find it very strange, right, that it's suddenly very secret to know Melham in London. that these are from London, they started it in 1044, they develop until this time. It would be very strange, anyway. I'm saying that the ancestry is a little bit longer. Dubert.
Yeah, actually, I think we are correct on that part. You see, the only thing that you must not know that must be secret is that process of circumcision. That one. courses differ from one nation to other. But the question of initiation school, I think the traditional leaders also, they can come with a framework so that these things become uniform. You know, what is it that we are, whether in Xhosa or Tswana or whatever, what is it that we are going to teach these young boys and so on?
Okay.
I think that can assist a lot. You know. In other words, what I'm trying to say, that must be known.
Mm-hmm.
That must be known, but for the whole society, like in the initiation school, this is what is expected, even from the guidelines. Apart from the...
Can we practically attain uniformity in terms of curriculum? I think we must be in as much as, that is why I said when I started that in as much as our law is legally and constitutionally valid, however, it needs to be practical. It needs to be practical to traditional leaders and people, lay people who are not illiterate, who would not be able to read the curriculum that you think that would be needed. We're saying there will be a curriculum. Who will be managing that curriculum practically in an initiation school? And we're saying the different principal will bring that different curriculum, which we agree. And that part we agree. However, uniformity is something that we must be wary of.
In fact, that's would be an impossible thing because every social group has got their way of doing things. So we can't have a blanket thing for all people. It's going to cause confusion. You see, some of the things that are referred to as being secret in the whole initiation process, some of them are laughable. For instance, you see, there is a specific language spoken at these schools, near language. It is meant for the fact that when men talk, men do not mean the same language. You understand? The language is specific to this process. And above all, there is nothing secret anymore to be and supported, because in our culture, Makopa, curriculum is around, you know, giving out after children for many years, sort of amplifying things that they should not be as many. You follow. So, if the curriculum is going to be established,
that demonstrates.
Yes.
There's one national identity.
Yes.
The one national identity. And then it's one program that you want to shape young people to become men. Not a song a man. Mm-hmm. Though South African made. Then the point that we are raising that in terms of the approaches, there's nothing a secret now. In terms of what you are saying. It was secret because people always wanted to develop certain things that women mustn't hear what they're talking about. They were very clear that one thing that they were worried about only is circumcision, not initiation. And the point that there will be areas where there will be some secret and sacredness, I guess. But the point that was raised that everywhere where we visited, or conducted public hearing, they were always worried about the quality of maid who comes out of our schools, the mountain schools.
Yeah.
And then I thought that the issue why there's an issue here of the curriculum is about that. There will be things that we may agree South African-wise that now every young South African may, whether in school or not in school, must understand about the pandemic, and understand about this and this. It's not about being what and what, because the problem that we are doing, though, would end up writing a law of general application that we are writing. The law of general application will be flexible enough to cover all realities of our situation. Because we can also have a law that we cannot implement. And that is no law, because people generally are not understanding what you are trying to do. Then we allow society to grow accordingly. I think that's a point that is raised.
Chairperson, I was thinking that maybe 29.3 basically covers everything that ought to be taught in the school now. As to the how part now, the dissemination of that information, something else. For instance, when you go to Eastern Cape, already there's a broad framework they've come up with which covers what is mentioned here in 29.3.
Well, of course, there will be some variation here and there. But we can have one nation. What happens if myself and Andil, we take our children to school and we teach them that they are superior than any other person? They want to know we are jollers.
Yeah.
All these other monkeys are useless. We are the only one. I'm just saying that can't work that way. And therefore, you can't have laws anyway. We are taking society backwards. Every law is to transform the society because people comply on the law. It's not that a law that complies to people. People comply with the law. That's why they were the police to enforce the law. Because the general people don't generally naturally agree with every law. They are enforced sometimes to do that. I think that 29 is covering all of us on some of the issues. We wouldn't have a problem that we do that. We don't have some variation. But they should be monitoring, that's the point that you are saying, the committee monitors this thing, that we don't end up real people dividing society rather than uniting society under the guise of the culture. They can become a problem. I think Babu Masipu, you listened to the religious sector yesterday in debate, and then you can feel general that you can also be cajoled by a wrong thing. And we must make law that transforms society. No society changes by itself. It changes because it's led by laws of the country. That's why the police will enforce law. In fact, the police already drive 170 must be arrested. Must be arrested. Because you force him to respect the law. That's how it works. Okay. That's why we are fine with that one. Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure whether I understand what's being said. But if we are saying we are going to retain curricula, and curriculum, I think it's something that some body or organization sits down and identify what is it that should be in the curriculum, and it is even easy to monitor it if you go to school, if you go to tertiary institutions. But in the initiation schools, how do we going to monitor the curriculum? Yes, we know that the aim of the initiation school is to ensure that they teach young boys to how to become adults, young girls how to become women, so on and so forth. But on the curriculum, how are we going to deal with it? I'm not sure whether I do understand with curriculum.
Thank you. I think maybe my response might help to your question as well. If we look at one of the functions of the PIC, listed in clause number 15, it is actually to consider the curriculum. So the principal will submit a curriculum to the PIC, and the PIC will have to consider that curriculum, not to look at the sacred and secretness, but to see whether the curriculum complies with the provisions of the Act, and to see whether the basic principles contained in clause 29 is complied with, and also to ensure that there's no illegal activities taking place in the initiation school. So in that is a monitoring mechanism that the bill already provides.
Yeah. I think clause 29, page 23, discipline and teaching.
covers many of these areas in the broader sense. But the structure that is monitoring, they will ensure that everything is according to what we put at Clause 29. Because Clause 29 covers all the issues, really, that is there. I think we should leave it that way. It's broad enough for general application. The monitoring structure will monitor that everyone sticks to the general norms, generally, how things are done, how things are taught, and then we can then move to address some of these issues. But as we move clause by clause, we'll come back to this, and then we can also have some discussion and see where they can improve on those. Sipare?
The definition of principal, I think they say you must specify the requirements for a principal as follows. This must be any person within initiation experience of at least 3 years and should initiate one of his or her children or family member. The specification will eliminate the unscrupulous element in the initiation process. I tend to differ with that one. This person has been a part and parcel of the initiation process. Are we now going to discriminate on basis of somebody did not initiate their own children, even when they have the sufficient experience to do that?
For me, is the number of years of experience as well, because other people, like when those that they go through the medical doctors that find themselves part of this, they've gone through more than many years, and here is just 3 years, and the age is not even being the issue here. Anybody at any age, as long as you've got 3 years, you might find yourself being part of this process. Yet this is one of the critical part where we really need our elders to lead this one. And I also support the issue of let's not discriminate on the basis whether we have kids that have gone there or not.
I also have a problem with this amendment, and my problem is if I have a look at clause 21.2, which talks to the criteria for being a principal, I think there are two criteria here that should be added in. The first is the age of the principal. I don't think we should have young men of 15, 16 who could be principals. Let me use an example. In Limpopo, we have children as young as 12 being initiated. If the three-year provision that is put in this proposal is in place, a 15-year-old could then be the principal of an initiation school. So I think we need to have a minimum age for someone to be a principal. I think that we should say that no one may be a principal unless they are at least 18 years of age.
The Act says 14. 40 years.
Where does it say that? Okay. All right. Fine. Fair enough. That's great. The second issue. It also covers my second concern, is that they must have gone through initiation themselves. If we don't have those criteria in place, anyone could come in and basically say that I'm going to teach practices that I don't know or I haven't gone through. So I'm comfortable at clause 2.4 now that I've been, it was in the back of my head, but I'd obviously forgotten about it. I'm comfortable that covers the criteria. Apart from that, I do not agree with the proposals that have been put forward here.
To be specific, the age. I think the age is very critical in our culture. The age is very critical because one of the responsibility of this principal is to guide this.
Yeah.
To guide. You can't expect a young man guiding another young man. You see. No, it makes a value, you know, to be that. So I think the 40 years is acceptable. I think. So that also we close the room. So that also we close the room for to any of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Chair, the 40 years, the intention was that the person is matured.
Yeah.
That's number one. But then the other criteria that we maybe needed to have looked into, well, I did not read the clause now, that irrespective of the 40 years, this person must have experience in the initiation school so that he's not taken by surprise should any such condition appear. That person must be able to handle that. Otherwise, we'll have a 40-year-old who has just undergone initiation last year coming over and becoming a principal just because he qualifies in terms of age. So the age must be coupled with the necessary experience that is required.
It totally covers most of it, but what I wanted to say is that when the department consulted on the bill, this issue was raised many times. What our initial version of this bill said, principals and everyone involved in traditional initiation practices needed to be age 21 years, at least 21 years. And what we found out is that many of the traditional leaders said, like one of the honorable members pointed out, they have to be elders, they have to be mature enough. Mm-hmm. It is for that reason we included the 40 years.
But for the experience can be far better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you can have it. Don't forget, in South Africa, the main observant, but that's still stupid. That doesn't mean that because your age is a little bit advanced, therefore naturally we are intelligent. Not at all. In fact, I think that's why the young people are arguing this thing of ages. That is not only age, experience counts a lot. And I think if you balance age and experience, you can work on that. Because may have a person is 35 years old, that is well experienced.
How do we do it?
No, I'm just saying that we shouldn't use age only without experience. I think better and experience should go hand in hand. And then, because I think, sorry, the point that you are raising is correct, that a person can go to a mountain at 50. It's above the limits of your age.
Yeah.
And then generally, it's principle, but he went there yesterday. You can't work that way. I think what you want Ray to check on the experience more than the age. But the age is for security reasons to ensure that we assume that the person is both a little bit matured enough to handle the situation. And then where the likelihood of people dying there is always there. And I think we should try to do so. Is that right?
Maybe then after it must at least be 40 years old and have a relevant experience in circumcision.
Chair, can I make a proposal here?
Okay.
Chair, maybe this is an opportunity for provincial variations where we say, and must have a level of experience determined by the provincial, the PRCC. Because in some provinces they might want 10 years, in other provinces they might want 5 years experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that gives a little bit of authority to the PRCC to say it must have a minimum level of experience, which may not be less than, I don't know, 3 years experience.
Let's leave it to the PRCC.
Yeah.
In some communities, they calculate in terms of the regiment that we have overseen. So I think those variations taken to the PIC would be much more. It would be easy for regulation in that particular case.
Okay. And that's my what is your regimen then? Yeah, us pass. Let us take the short amendment. Yes.
If we look at clause number 37, it already makes provision for provincial legislation to determine a higher minimum age provided for clause 2 and 4. So the provision for increasing the age is already provided for.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the experience.
We will add the experience, then it will apply.
Yeah,
to
perfect.
Okay. We are still coming to clause by clause.
Yeah.
Note the issues. When you go clause by clause, we'll pick them up correctly and locate them correctly. At the moment, we are just dealing with the interpretation from the public participation, public engagement, public hearing. Okay, can we move?
Yes. In this one, clause 2.4, the issue is that this clause should take into consideration the fact that some initiation tradition count the age of the person involved in the initiation process from the period in which his or her initiation took place. Therefore, replace the age requirement with the requirement for a minimum experience of 10 years. No, I think this one is the one that we have just dealt with, that a PICC will make the determination. So we leave it as is.
Okay.
But if you say, you know, you can go there, and then for the next, say, 5 years, you are not even partaking on the process, you don't know what was going on, how to improve, and when you come back, you bring there as an experience. I don't understand this.
That's right.
2.4. No. No, I think what we should do, these are comments generally speaking, but we are going to go back to the bill that is proposed clause by clause. I think this one, I just note for us to note the comment issue that were raised by public hearing, and then as we go back to clause by clause, we may pick up some of the issues and we can then improve on that. And this one is not necessarily a clause from the bill. And then it's just summary of the issues that were raised by communities as well. Madam?
Chair, just on the second part of that comment about the medical practitioners, I tend to agree with that medical practitioners should be excluded from that age requirement. And if you're a registered medical practitioner, you've undergone the necessary training, you might be doing your community service year and deployed to a community or something like that, but you're not 40 years old. You're able to do the job, but you're not 40 years old. I think that we should take medical practitioner out of that definition and
Actually, the most simple material is because you said we agree that you're going to put relevant experience that will be determined by
the whole of 2.4, yeah.
That's the Yamoto one. They're going to amend everything. In terms of we go to the main deal, then we remember that one experience, age, medical one, all this.
Okay, I think we can agree with regard to age, but traditional leaders made it very specific that a medical doctor needs to undergo circumcision, initiation himself. Even if you're the medical doctor, you cannot enter that place if you haven't undergone that practice. So we can remove the age, but he or she must have undergone initiation. If not, the traditional leadership may not accept you.
I think maybe here we are just missing things, because we are talking about the principal. I think the principal is the one that is overseeing the school. The medical practitioner is the one who's going to do circumcision, and it should go there, not here.
Yeah.
Repeat it again, Susan.
Mm.
Seems we are covering it very well.
No, I was saying it seems as if we are confusing things here. We are talking about the principal, who is the overseer of the initiation school. And when we come to the practitioners who are doing the real job of cutting, then it's where we are going to talk about the medical practitioner and the experience that they must have.
Can we adopt something as a principle as this committee?
Yeah.
As a principle, I think we're all in agreement. I think everybody here agrees that the initiation, the school, the learning, all of that, whatever that happens, that's the area of the principle. The actual procedure of circumcision, that is a medical practice that needs to be overseen by a medical practitioner. I think everybody in this room can agree to that. And if we agree to that in principle, then we can say, well, you know, that part, there's nothing secret. Everybody knows what happens. It's not like it's a I don't know how to describe it. It's not like it's something that nobody knows what the process is or anything like that. But it needs to be undertaken by a medical practitioner. And whether or not that medical practitioner is an initiate himself, how are we going to check? How are we going to check that XYZ practitioner is an initiate? I mean, that in itself is an invasion of privacy.
You see, one of the objective of the public hearing is to understand what the people are thinking. You know, people, I think, they link this issue of a practitioner with the police, that any person who must enter this place, they call it the secret place, should be a person that undergo a circumcision, the initiation school. Now, I don't know how can you bridge the gap or reconcile the two.
I think because
there was a resistance that a person who never go to initiation school must not enter them. How do you reconcile
that?
If this is the initiation school over here, and as government we provide, let's say, a mobile clinic. The mobile clinic doesn't actually have to go inside the initiation school. It parks outside the initiation school. The initiates come out, they go through, and they go back into the initiation school. It's not like the practitioner actually has to be on the premises. He can be outside the 10, 20 meters from the entrance. It doesn't have to be in the school. I'm just thinking that we need to be practical here as to how we can make it work and still ensure the health of our children. Because that's what this bill is about. It's not about, you know, it's not about taking away traditions and cultures and things like that. It's about making sure that these children survive, that they are healthy, that they are not injured in this process.
You know, for me, Chair, when we come up with the issue of 40 years, we were trying to consider issues like this. Because when we said people must be at a certain age, on the back of my mind I was thinking that we understood that there are people that have not gone through the like your medical doctors and the police. Those people, you cannot restrict them to any area, especially in this country. So I was thinking that we were talking about those people that have gone through a certain practice and experience. Therefore, they must be restricted to based on the age. But those that are professional on the job, like your medical doctor, your police, because one day we'll go back to the same debate that the chair has once made, to say if there's anything fatality that happens there, and those initiate were taken to hospital and they find nurses, will they say no because they are female? And the nurses will refuse to say no, you can't be touched by you because you are a female. it goes to the same debate when you say that person should have been undergone certain training. For medical doctors, it shouldn't be that requisite. It should just be scrapped. It doesn't, it's not a here nor there for them. The same thing like police. You cannot say to police, no, you can't go there and control that crowd, whatever that is happening that is illegal in that school, because you have not gone to the same school as well. No. You know something wrong is wrong. If there are drugs there, there are drugs. You don't have to go to a certain school to know this is a drug or not a drug. If people are abused, are beaten, or whatever, that is said, if it's wrong, it's wrong. So people who control law enforcement must not be listed in that bit. I still felt that I agree in our colleagues that says this part, maybe it has come to a wrong space. Maybe when we go west by west, we must really look at it and ensure that we don't put restriction. The only people that need age restriction and principals or those doctors that have not gone through the medical school, those ones must really, I agree, that we must put age restriction on them.
I'm not sure if I'm going to cause a report, as you say, quoting from what you said earlier on, but I may be a little bit controversial, but please pardon me, because it's my responsibility to advise the committee as well. Chairperson, here we're talking about initiation. In some cultures, when it's time for initiation, and Noti said something to me 3 years back, it's time for me to get hold of him, in whatever nature. So we may be coming up with something which we may put the lives of those doctors in danger who have not attended initiation, when we're saying there mustn't be any restrictions. Currently, we're working close with SAPS. And members of SAPS who monitor initiation schools have undergone initiation schools. So we don't have a problem. Same applies to the medical doctors who are helping us in the initiation have undergone initiation schools. But if you're going to take one who hasn't undergone initiation school, the possibility is that he may not return until the coma finishes. Because, Chair, there are issues that you have to say to get in there or to talk to the initiates. You just don't go there and talk to them. There are certain things that you are supposed to know when you have undergone that particular initiation. So you have to recite those things. Then you will be allowed in. If you cannot, Chair, then we have a problem. So mine is just to advise the committee. Let's see how best can we do it. Remember, there's still traditional stages as well. So let's try and balance this, not necessarily to take everything that is supposed to be in the initiation and you know. That's just the advice I'm giving to the committee.
We are still going to be dealing with clause by clause. We are dealing with interpretation, general understanding. When we deal clause by clause, and the point that I think is raised, those sort of must consider, is that police have no limit in life. When life is in danger, they enter anywhere. You can't say now, there's AK-47 in this house, then you must wait police, and then, because that's in Western. I think the principal point is that we respect the cultures of our people, but also we must not also much more add more darkness to culture. Because also we can also be very backward and in fact add more darkness in culture. There's no culture that is hidden somewhere. Every people of this culture, they want their culture to be known because they got respected through their culture. What we don't want to be known is something that is wrong. It's very rare anyway to find a person who's doing something good that, no, I don't want this thing to be known. It would be very strange. I thought our people were very clear. As far as the constitution is concerned, we prefer this approach. As far as initiation as a whole, we don't have a problem, but we must be respectful. I think we must give them sufficient respect in whatever thing that they are requesting. At the same time, we don't also become backward ourselves, because otherwise it can also be something wrong for us to do so. In the law of general application, it must be understood by society, and then society transforms as laws also move forward. And I think we should try to balance the two, because what happened is, Solif, you know that, Emma, there are boys there, Eval anyway. That's why Eval was closed. Because on all our initiation, people were taught to be gangsters. On all our initiation.
That's not initiation.
That's the point I'm saying. Yeah, like but General was covered as initiation school. Until things happened on that, because it's very easy. Many of us who are very conservative by nature anyway. It's very easy also to be very conservative and think that everything that must be conservative. And then you think that society doesn't change. That's the thing that we're raising in Amakhosi anyway, so. And the Amakhosi in 30 years' time is of CPLE. Because song is them are dropping. Song is them are dropping. I was only one Amakhosi lover. That's what such a dropping. And it is a reason why in the Western Cape is for they are very flexible. In Amakhosi, you know that I know Amakhosi. Because they understood very well that they can't go back home because now they are urbanizing society. I'm saying that's the issue. That we must balance the two. And then how do you want to propel society to change in a positive manner and also avoiding things that people shouldn't die in initiation school? Because anyway, people, what kills people is not education. It's a wrong circumcision at this moment. Nothing else. They're not really killed because of other things. Of course, there's abuse, I accept that. People are very clear about many abuses. I think we have, in terms of the bill, we're getting rid of them. I think let us move to our next one. We have to balance, as you are saying, what we want to happen, also how that the issues are. Because the bill anyway, there are human rights here in South Africa, and many NGOs, they'll take us to court on many issues. If there's an element of discrimination in whatever form, we are guaranteed to be taken to court. Then we have to balance the interests of the society as a whole, but also those who practice this thing. In fact, it's just like a person was asking, who's this one? I think CFO, CIO Rights Commission. Who's that? I just forgot the name. He was there also with many priests yesterday. And then they went for him. There was a very articulate priest, but you can see the sources priest generally. Very articulate. And then I felt sorry for the man, because it seems he can't say a word now. Because he's overwhelmed by this priest, he's articulate. He knows verse 1 to 20, all the verses there. But the man was just saying, leave us to do what we want with our religion. Don't regulate this thing. It's madness. And then I said, hey, this man of CRR right now doesn't know what to say. Yes. Then they're losing this faith. But the point, you make laws to regulate the society, but also to enforce change in society. Yeah. So that's why Ngonyama Trust will go one day. We want to change. So we want to change. One day. That day is not today, but one day. Let's proceed, colleagues.
Okay. One of the other concerns that was raised was chapter 2, oversight and coordinating structure. They say the initiation practice is a family matter that should not involve any level of government. Chapter 2 of the bill is therefore unnecessary. And 2.1, it says regulation should address the question of NOC membership. And the need to expand or minimize the committee may change over time. Amendment regulation take much shorter periods than the primary legislation. for me, Chair, I still think that Chapter 2 needs to be retained, because Chapter 2 is the essence of what the monitoring and evaluation of the whole initiation practice is all about. As my colleague was saying, so we need to retain it.
But I thought that generally many people that were said in a public hearing accepted anyway the structure. And then generally they accepted the structure as overseen. In fact, the point that they were raising sometimes, how do we fit in this structure that you are raising there? I think there would be a problem for the structure in terms of public hearing. Of course, there will be one or two people raising publicly why this is a family matter. That was raised in the SNK, USNK PS, that this circumcision in part of it is a family thing. And then why we need permanent structures, and all the thing was raised in that context. That we are an urbanizing, we are part of the urbanizing country. That's why in 20 years' time, Honorable Ezra will be a resident of one. The forces of nature forcing from to come to Joburg. My son was going to watch why Joburg. Let us move forward. Chapter 2
we retain it.
We should retain Chapter 2.
We must retain it. I think one of the concerns that I was talking to my colleague about was that it says at least three members of NOC must be women. I'm saying it must be women, however, when they visit the initiation school, women must remain.
Yeah,
on a point of principle.
When they go there, of course, they wouldn't enter the room, but they'll be in the yard. They won't enter the room, but they'll be in the yard.
In the
same, yeah.
Chair, maybe that has come under function of the NIOC rather than under the composition.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're just dealing with the whole of chapter.
No, I accept that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the thing about what women can and can't do should slot in under the function. Or what men can and can't do.
It should be embedded because we understand that they can.
Yeah. Also, Chet, and help me to understand something here. Are we talking, when this National Initiation Oversight Committee does an inspection of a school, are we talking about them not inspecting the circumcision part or the curriculum part? I mean, I think that we need to be very careful here, because this is why we've established this committee in the first place, is to make sure that standards are upheld, that the medical part is acceptable, and I can accept that young men do not want women going in and inspecting while they're being medically treated, but at the same time they should have the right and the authority to go in and inspect the facilities of
I thought they are not disallowed to do so.
I'm just raising this as a, you know, if there's pushback from the traditional leaders and the initiation school principals and the like, we need to make sure that we give them the authority to inspect facilities, not necessarily while practices are being undertaken. Mm-hmm. The same thing is at the school itself. Are they permitted to actually go onto the premises of the school and see that the accommodation is acceptable, that there is no litter on the premises, etc., etc., etc.? These are things that we've identified as problematic in this bill. Are they permitted to go there and inspect that? We must remember at the end of the day that the reason why we're bringing women onto this committee is because it's their children.
they are mothers. So I think we need to be very careful about acceding to this secrecy.
Remember earlier in our discussions we were saying police are not even allowed, or doctors who are not initiated are not even allowed in those premises. And culturally, the initiation is not initiation school or where initiation is held. It's not necessary where you can determine the facilities. The facilities, maybe like now, if we have a mobile clinic where the doctors would do their initiation, that can be monitored. But the initiation necessary, they just look into a bush where they would erect a structure for that particular initiation at that time. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have a house or an office park that you can go in. And so as women, if they say from here it's initiation, are we ever going to be allowed? Let us be practical and reasonable about it.
Jay, I think we must be careful not to be pushing the agenda of traditional media at the expense of the overall feeling in the country about the matter. So here we are legislation makers. We must proceed according to what the spirit of this bill. And then if people act outside this, then
Jefferson, I think we should not complicate this too much. Chair, there's an initiation school for men and there are initiation schools for females. So the reason we have this committee with women is so that we have people who can go in and inspect relevantly. So I don't think it will be fair and culturally correct that we take men to go and inspect female initiation schools. It will not be correct. So Chair, it's not a problem to have females or women in whatever committee, but the functions that they will be performing are maybe the same but done in
my understanding, colleague.
I agree with Babu's story. Even in our culture, when someone, one of your family pass on, it's in the mortuary, it's a female. You can't take men to go and wash it. So a man wash a male one, so female one, and so on. So you can't twist this thing. This thing's there. So I think
every male is washed by a female in hospital when you are sick.
No, but
there's no male comes there to wash you when you can't move. I'm saying that this is the male female nurses. I'm just raising this point, though. Because conservative people, they always want to pinpoint one area in totality. Every man, when we are sick in the hospital, we are washed by a female.
While we are alive.
When we are seeing everything, we are watching and seeing. And the hospital. No, the initiation school is separate. The point that I'm saying, not too bad. It's a valid point. No? When you are cold then, there are a lot of other issues that are raised. Mm. Don't forget, though, the backwardness of culture sometimes.
Mm.
That women were not allowed to enter. Precisely because sometimes they go to menstruation
process.
It's the only reason why women are not allowed to enter. There's no other reason. Even during war situations, women are not allowed to enter cross because of that reason. You only enter most and everything anyway. I'm just saying that's a separate issue. When Dube is in hospital last year, was being taken care by females,
was naked, white by female. And suddenly do a change. No, women can't. But in reality, no, Duwe, the point that you are raised in terms of culture is that you are putting female and male in order for male to go and oversee what is happening in male tissue. They go inside and observe everything that is happening. When is a problem somewhere for females, the women who are part of the committee will go there and do everything there. That is a combination anyway that is necessary to do. And then it's a proper thing to do for the cultural purposes. I think it doesn't cause havoc to anyone. I think so, we agree with you. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
And then it moves easy. And then suddenly you are going to have a situation that if I'm my sexual orientation is this way, I'll need this way. That is going to happen as you move on society.
Mm.
Because that's why Dube mustn't take up this thing.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen. The argument is going to be more than that, and we move on so far. In fact, very, very few South Africans, anyway, even in Parliament, agreed on the question of abortion, termination of pregnancy. Many men, but the law, the carry law, everyone appreciates it. I'm saying that if society is changed, I'm done by law.
Mm.
Exactly. Can you imagine how many scholars in South Africa said, you know, what's taller, a fierce lender?
Mm.
We enforce it. Mm. If they enforce this thing, mm. If properties are enforced. I'll shut down about the number. Serious. Anyway, I knew about that, but one must follow it. I never said, why in Yaganyala? But that ain't gonna take him long. Let's move forward.
Okay. Plus 5-1, the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. The requesting the chairperson contemplated in this club must be a traditional deal.
5-1.
The approach, though, that we try to accommodate as far as possible traditional leaders in structures that we are creating. But the structures are not for traditional leaders, they're for everyone. But we should try to accommodate them one way or another. Where the traditional leaders, in rural areas in particular, they should be part of these committees one way or another. And then in urban areas, there is another issue that will address on that issue.
Why don't we say the applicant must be the chairperson? Because like you cited the issue of the urban area, those people are not necessarily traditional.
Yeah.
Why don't we say the applicant? So that the entire responsibility can be shouldered.
Okay. But we'll come back to 12
by 12. Yeah.
Let's move on.
We have the requirements on the qualification, and we'll deal with that later. And on the disqualification, they say the National House of Traditional Leaders recommends that members of NOC shall have undergone initiation. Otherwise, they should not be eligible to be members of the committee.
Again?
It's a national structure.
Again? Just repeat it, please.
The National House of Traditional Leaders recommend that members of the National Initiation Oversight Committee, that is at the national level, that is appointed by a minister, should have undergone initiation. Otherwise, they should not be eligible to be members of the committee. And for me, I think this is wrong.
This one. Segregation.
Yes.
Can't allow this one.
No,
we can't.
No, do it. I thought that we are supporting that. That I was my party committee thought. everyone of Kabila. They won't be part of community. You can cause half of this society.
Yeah.
And then everyone on a shiskop like Utube to a party of community can't be part of the community. I think we can cause half of. In fact, we can be taken to court, can be discriminatory, can cause unnecessary issues. These are policy issues. Then in fact one of the reasons only why anyway comrades refuse to accept the Bandebele people to do that. That now only men must come for public hearing, no females.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start doing that, it will cause a huge house of people. In fact, it was going to be illegal to do so. But I thought that the point that is raised there is correct, but I think it was a view expressed. But generally, again, we shouldn't over-exaggerate this. Every area that we, people appreciated both female and male sitting there and appoint them accordingly, their skills and everything, is one thing. I think they were very appreciative in this structure. Yes, ma'am.
Just to add, the department's view is that the NEOC is an oversight committee. It's going to deal, the NICO, the NEOC, is an oversight committee. It's generally going to deal with governance issues. So we don't see a reason why the members need to be initiated. And another reason to bear in mind is a third of that need to be women, at least three need to be women. So it's, there's a great possibility that these women won't undergo initiation themselves.
Mm. Anyway, it's very true South African women go for initiation. Very, very true. Yeah? No, not really. It's in Venda. And then virginity testing is not initiation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes now it's covered as initiation.
No, Chairperson, I, even though I agree that this is the higher body, but we must not allow people who don't have the experience or the knowledge to just sit there and cause havoc. I don't know how are we going to we get relevant people. Who are going to sit there in that committee?
This one is going to go all over the country. I want to change the point. About Mama, they're saying, but you made, you said you mustn't come in. We accept that. But don't forget that our child, when the children, when they're there, they take photos. Use their cell phone, take photos, and send their kids back. They can see you. Yeah. And then that's the issue that is there. Kids when they were told that you can't bring phones and no. I'm at school. And then I'm in school. I've always been informed about what is happening in classes and everything. But they take pictures and send their culture. The point goes that the technology is going to change all these conservative dubes.
Mr. Chair, we should not allow particular social group to override all the concerns raised in the various provinces. And as far as I'm concerned, that's far. It is
useful. Yes, sir.
I'm saying, you know, a funny issue in this case is this constant emphasis on the fact that those people who have not been initiated must not do that, must not do that, must not. That one is problematic. It's really problematic. We cannot be, dancing to the Queen's offer a senior traditional, what you call, because it's throughout the whole provinces we visited. The issue of school was not an issue except Kwandebele. It wasn't an issue except Kwandebele because they really got rid of us and said, you okay. So we must not allow ourselves, like I said earlier on when we started, traditional leaders, we cannot transform their structures and leave them untransformed. They must follow the law. We must put our foot down and say, this is going to happen. It's my feeling.
No.
I would tell them traditionally
that. I just get that. they were not very negative.
They were not negative.
Firstly, yet. They accepted the principles of the bill.
Exactly.
One issue that was concerning them, not all what you are talking about.
Yes.
They were concerned about the age issue. The age issue, that you don't take what happened in the southern part of the country and try to impose in the northern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
5 years here worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
The song has raised the issue that there's 7 years, you know, we do this. And they were raising these issues very generally.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, what you are creating here is not real what people were saying
outside.
At the broader sense, they accepted the principle of the peace. They accepted the proposition of the NCC, the oversight committee, they're very happy on that. In fact, they have a question the participation of women there. I think our people are much more positive, all in all, on this. And then, of course, we can go for wedding here and there. But imagine move from a premise that they were not. In fact, when we were in Limpopo, I think many of them are traditional leaders. Extremely positive on this. Saying that we are late anyway, we've done this thing long. And there's no negativity in terms of society. Therefore, we must move with a bit easy. And the age issue, we are going to look at it. That's an issue that they complain about. The 40 years of experience. Because they argue that this thing now, money makes. We need to make money on this. Therefore, 40 years is a problem. I think that's an issue that we're dealing with. But generally, even Amakhosi anyway, the Eastern Cape Amakhosi were very positive. Never rejected anything. They were raising the issue, of course, in terms of the southern and the northern parts, what are the issues there. Then they raised issues. I just think that we may over-exaggerate the problem. We may over-exaggerate the problem. There were no problems to many people when they came. Of course, we have to improve the language of the bill. Just ensure that we cover them. We know what we want to achieve with it and then how we want to achieve it.
I think one of the issues is that clause 6B is the disqualifications where we're saying a person is not eligible to be designated as a member of NOC if that person is under the age of 18. They say this clause appears to contradict clause 2.4. And clause 2.4, I think, is the age of the principal, which was 40 years. So those are two different issues. So can you agree to overlook that one and move on?
Yeah, that's clear.
Okay.
Can I clause 8, that you would be meeting the council. The committee itself should determine the procedural matter pertaining to this committee. It should be possible for meetings of NOC.
It should be possible for meetings of NOC to take place anywhere in the country, not just in Pretoria. I think in the bill we said the meeting would be in Pretoria. It's in our law. So maybe we must remove it to say that as and when required.
You just take the point that head offices are in Pretoria.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that people can't meet anywhere when
they
want to.
They can
meet here.
Many
must
be
able to meet here. Yes. Pretoria. But not forget that Puluwan is growing. All your villages there, the next 10 years, let alone anyway, that the government part of it is becoming desert. 20 years ago, when you were in Shabeleng area, there were nice, large bushes. Now it's dry. It's almost a bush of a desert. All of you are coming to Kuluwan. All these colonies of Kulumangazo here, there won't be a bush any longer. That's only been down. And therefore, we must anticipate that's going to happen. My bushes are working. In fact, I was in here, they were complaining about this. There are no bushes yet. Then we must build permanent structure. All these things that after that you burn it, you won't burn the permanent structure. They were complaining about that all that.
this one that I'm waiting for in the hearing, which are saying please provide land for us.
Yeah, but Chairperson, just on an enlightenment, some of those that did not go through a mountain or whatever, they may not be accepted in other initiatives. That there is that differentiation. If you really did not do this, then you said, well, now you don't fit here. When we're sitting there as men,
I'm just saying that these tendencies and backwardness must not be encouraged by law. The law must get rid of this backwardness of control.
You see, that's the simplified point. You come to a traditional point. You are in conflict with your wife. You continue to be wise. You are in conflict with one of them. Then all the traditional countries who have only a single wife must know how to do things. The idea is that you don't know how complicated it is to control two
things.
So those with single wives must move up, and those with the double barrels must sit down. And as you can cover the matter.
I'm saying that is a bigger problem. Dr. Pesso, we are here. You are the one who's causing the problem for us. I hope that we'll be able to monitor
the policy change. We were dealing with the problem that we were the other people.
But are they moving?
They are moving to, in fact, they will both come back to you because you are not selecting the people who made them today.
But I know that NSOP, they put was and in. It's not quite No. They are not very interested on it. It should be content. I know that some of them that they have brought back with is to correct was in. I thought that my amendment, we should force them to deal with substantive issues. Because many of them now we have taken back again to Parliament, but everyone was laughing there. What are you bringing here? We have to justify, no, there was wars here, now we are putting in.
There's a little bit of content, but it's
But you must assist us to know the content, because otherwise they will delay it forever. Next grammar problem. grammar problem. Okay.
Plus 9.2. It says that law should provide for biannual reports and regulations should address the procedural aspect. But when you look at clause 9.2, it says before the end of February and August of each year, the NOC must, in respect of the preceding 6 months, prepare a report on the performance of its function contemplated. It's the same difference. It's biannual. Yeah.
Otherwise someone is going to take a photo with this jacket. Social media is very big.
Okay.
Clause 15.1.1.1.1.E, it says, in making... Okay, we're on page 4.
Page
4? Yes, page 4. Clause 9.3, they say the regulation should capture the details referred in this clause. Clause 9... No. And clause 10, they say the regulation should provide for matters contained in this clause. We must be careful not to regulate with our secondary legislation, but with our primary legislation. So whatever that is required to be enacted must be in the principal legislation.
Okay.
I suggest we retain these clauses as they are. And we move to clause 11, which is Provincial Initiation Coordination Committee. In clause 11, they're saying at least 3 members of establishment, composition, and term of office. They say at least 3 members of the Khoisan Council must be members of the PICC in the case of the Western Cape, which neither has recognized the traditional leader nor a provincial house of traditional leaders. The bill must recognize and acknowledge that despite the lack of formal recognition, traditional leaders in the Western Cape play a vital role in providing guidance and leadership in respect of cultural initiation in the province. Regulation should provide for the exact number of representatives to form part of the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee. However, we have already made an amendment to say that this must be prescribed by the PSCC. The composition of each and every province must be determined by the PICC thereof. So we can't make an amendment to this one because it's already contained.
I want to add that it's important to point out that the with regard to Khoisan leadership, as members know, that bill is not yet finalized. So there is no Khoisan council to begin with. And secondly, what we have found from our research is that a Khoisan leader may not be familiar with the practices of traditional leadership. So we don't see what value are they going to add to the structure if they are not even familiar, because they don't practice initiation themselves.
I just think that wherever they do exist, the consideration should be made. It should be in the bill. The structures must be inclusive, generally. If there are traditional leaders here at the national level, once we have established them, surely they must have some people sitting in those structures, particularly at the Western Cape level and other areas. Even those who don't really conduct themselves in this way, I think they can be able to do. And then I think we'll open that space for them as we move on. At the moment, we know that the bill should be all-inclusive, involve as many people as possible. Already the criteria we agreed on. Then based on that, then I think many of them will be included there.
On clause 12.1A, they say the chairperson contemplated in this clause must be a traditional leader. I think we spoke about this one. So we leave it as is.
Then we move to the 14th meeting.
I said regulation should deal with how the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee should meet. The committee itself should determine the procedural matter pertaining to its meeting. I agree with the fact that the committee would itself determine the procedural meeting thereof. However, the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee should be in the bill, not in the regulation.
Do
it.
I think you are so fast.
You think that?
You are so fast, yeah. So fast. Because I'm confused on clause 12, 1A.
that the chairperson contemplated in the term of the traditional leaders?
Oh, we dealt with this somewhere else initially, earlier, where we're saying that it's not the prerogative. It doesn't necessarily mean that when a person is a traditional leader, they must be a chairperson. They should be part and parcel or a member of the committee, however, not necessarily the chairperson.
No, don't be too slow. We are doing very well in the area.
No, I'm not saying to
in terms of the toilet, Dube is getting older. Age is catching up with you.
Are we person giving 14 as it is?
Yes.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Functions?
Okay, 14.
Functions. The district and local initiation fora should assume the function contemplated in this issue. In making a determination on a number of initiation schools to operate within a particular municipal area, the PICC must take care not to interfere with the existing legally registered initiation school, as this may encourage the spread of illegal initiation school.
Now there is contrary to the issue of who must apply to practice the 48.
Bear just in mind, colleagues, what we are discussing are public views.
Yeah.
We are trying to realign the thinking, what the public was saying, what the village said.
Yes.
What is it that we can take from the public side of things to enrich our bill, and what you can, doesn't mean that we have to take every clause here.
No.
Then what is applicable? We take it from here and put it here. What is not, again, that I must leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is some out of public views. And therefore, we are looking at the clauses in the bill and say, this one makes sense. It enriches the bill. We can put it in. Some would cause cannot assist us. We leave them where they are and move on. That, madam?
Chair, 15.1e.
I think it's going a little bit too far, because one of the provisions of this bill is that every year the schools must re-register. Now, the PICC must determine that in Municipality A, the optimal number is 5 schools. In Municipality B, it's 8 schools, or whatever it might be. Now, they can't then say, well, because there are already 10 schools in Municipality A, we must have 10 schools. They must determine how many, and that's what this clause does in 15.1e, taking into account how many traditional surgeons there are, the availability of space, all the things that they must consider are already in there. So I think we shouldn't accept this proposal on 15.1e.
No. Mm-hmm. Not helpful. Okay, can we move?
Yes. The next one is that the principal of an initiation school should be under no obligation to provide any further details on the activities deemed secret and secret.
Okay. What does the bill say?
I think we dealt with this earlier on in the conversation. If we go to clause number 15.1i, it provides for the protection of sacredness and secret practices.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this earlier discussion.
So we retain
the
In 15.1m, as such,
The clause should entrust the responsibility to monitor and evaluate the general functioning of initiation school during the initiation period only to those PICC members who have undergone initiation. So we're going back here. And I think the principle is if the NOC members are not under no obligation to be circumcised, I think the PICC also. And 15.2, it says regulations should deal with this provision of this clause. No. It has to be in. It has to be in the primary legislation. Okay, you say this clause should also. It says this clause should also consider information relating to details about the initiate taken to hospital. To a novice, this clause can only convey the impression that the purpose of the initiation is to cure initiates. Therefore, rephrase it to read as follows. Information relating to the nature and cause of any unfortunate loss of life of the initiate. Maybe we must also remove the word unfortunate.
No. Chair, I was going to say, I think we're putting lots of soft words in here to make it, but be that as may, I'm okay with the second part of that. The first part about the initiates taken to hospital is covered under 2I, 15.2I.
Okay. Then we move to 1517A because the drafting of 152K, we agree with it and remove the word unfortunate. So this one is agreed. Clause 1577A. It says this clause should emphasize that the initiation school that receive initiate from a closed school must as far as possible conform to the culture of the transferred initiates. What is the practice?
A closes and say and
transfer it initiate to school B. Is it culturally doable?
It's not. Let's say you're having the Bele school being closed by government here next to A school. And then it's closed and it's taken to the nearby A school. You automatically sort of try to assimilate that school into our own culture. This is wrong. I don't think it's proper. The practice will definitely be different.
Oh, okay.
But then what happens to this initiate? Because we have 7A where it says if an initiation school is closed or deregistered in accordance with the provision of this act, the relevant TICC, where possible, arrange for the initiate who attends such an initiation school to be transferred to another registered initiation school. So we have it in our legislation. However, it's a concern here, and I wanted to see, this is legally correct, but I wanted to check, find out from us.
I think we can solve it by simply putting in the word another appropriate registered initiation school. Mm. In other words, if you are a Sepedi school, you must be transferred to a Sepedi school or whatever. So another appropriate registered initiation school.
Oh, okay. I thought we got rid of section, quarter section, school section. I thought that this thing has died long time ago. I thought we used to have Shawela. Shawela is gone now. You do have Nawane, is gone now. I'm just worried again, emphasis that they must be of differences that never exist.
But parents will find.
No. I'm saying, I'm not sure what is the basic culture that is different from the very culture. Unless you are talking about rituals. If you are talking about rituals, it's fine. Female rituals always differ from myself. But the point that I'm saying, customary issues and cultural issues were not the same.
But here are operations,
you understand? Yeah. No, I accept that.
Yeah.
It just must also not by default. Start saying a person who's a valve who is Zulu speaking, everyone who are going to the initiation school, that school got closed. Don't forget that in urban areas, the schools are one, everyone goes there. Then we start saying, no, if the school that is predominantly Mthethwa's, then it's illegal, we are closing it, then we must go and look for other Mthethwa schools somewhere. I think we'll do wrong. In rural areas, it's fine because we can, but you can't do that in Alexander Township. We have a problem. Because the children in Alexander grew up together, there's no differences in this thing. My understanding of any law, anyway, that a law is of general application should cover almost all situations in the country without undermining the right of people. Because we must not end up introducing something that the laws of the country got rid of it long time ago. And we will take us again to many sections. You can imagine that if the faith school is in charge, is illegal, they are initiated. Those initiated then, they are removed because of whatever reason. And you must go to all Soweto. There are many other schools. You must be going all in Soweto, say, hey man, where's the paid initiation schools here? I just think that we mustn't do things wrong. And then we must ensure that the law is of general application, and then this house comes on. I don't have a problem with some parcel, they can do that. It's some parcel. But you can't do that. They're not making law for rural areas.
Yeah.
It's a law for South Africa. It's in urban areas and rural areas. Therefore, we must, it's a law of general application. It's a law for our country, the whole. It's both urban and rural and semi-urban and rural areas. Then we must cover it correctly. But let us move. We'll come to that one.
We say where possible, that's the first thing. So, you know, if it's not possible, it's not possible. And secondly, appropriate is not defined. Appropriate can mean, you know, language, but it could also mean in Alexandria, it's a mix or whatever it might be. So appropriate is a way around.
Alexandria is a cosmopolitan.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Jim.
A cosmopolitan township can't have a baby section.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
I like you because you are very cosmopolitan, you know. But otherwise this one, they want tribal elements. You start saying, no, you can move on this one. You can imagine another like that in the national team. Okay.
But they advise us to appear in that. They separate themselves when they are there. The Zulus would go to the Zulus, even though they are in the same section, but the Zulus can't be dealt with by the Shanganese and the therefore they are all
like this
way of doing it.
The same
initiation. When we are in Jovis, that's what we have. And also in Cokta, they told us that no, it's not a problem, but when they go there to the school, there are different cultures within. You will find the Cokta there in that corner, find those ones in that corner, and that corner, and that corner. And they said we must invest there. They really emphasize on that.
In one school.
Yeah. It's one school.
One school with many corners.
Exactly.
You leave a school. Many corners in a school is fine. But what you should do is not casual. And then the point that you are raising, though, that when the school of the coin then is closed because it's illegal, they initiate already that school. They should be taken to any other school that is appropriate. Doesn't mean that we have to drive to Johannesburg and looking for another coin school when the other schools around that are appropriate. That's a point that I think is right. But it's right in one school you can have this one here because people want to talk, want to do things separately. That customary thing is allowed.
Isn't Popo, for instance, under a traditional leader, you have 3 to 4 schools, Ndebele, Pedis, Bantwani, like that, in the same, under the same traditional leader. So you may even find 2 Ndebele schools under the same traditional leader. If this one fails, they can be taken to the next Ndebele school. But that side you have predominantly Ndebele and Pedis.
No,
it's faster. As long as they put their own vision, vendors, their own vision.
Oh. But I'm just saying that the law is allowing us to do anything that we can do that is practical. We leave it there. Then any situation then will be addressed as it's managed and deal with that. But the law is broad enough to cover us to every area that we are trying to.
Plus 50.
In our living.
No, we do not leave it. Remember, Chair, we said yes. We said we're going to include the word appropriate initial school, so that at least it opens. It addresses the concerns of whoever. Because if you look at 1510, the one that I was going to go to now, it says this clause should emphasize that the initiation school that receives initiate from a closed school must, as far as possible, conform to the culture of the transferred initiate. So when we include the word appropriate initiation school, it takes care of that has to conform to possible conform to the culture of the transferred initiate.
Let's make it page 9 by 9.
Okay. And clause 1510A, the comment here was that this clause should make it clear that the PICC should report to the South African Police Service any criminal conduct revealed in a process of investigating any alleged abuse of the initiate.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Okay, we're moving to clause 16, the technical support team. And this, the concern here is that regulations should address the composition of the technical support team. The second one is that the local house of traditional leaders should form part of the technical support team contemplated in this clause. And 16.1b says this clause should consider the inclusion of Department of Water and Sanitation. And I do not understand that, because local government schedule for water is part of it, so we do not need it. Then let's move to clause 17, administration and financial support. The concern here is that this clause should consider the establishment of a dedicated initiation support unit in every provincial house of traditional leaders.
As honourable members know, we're proposing certain governance structures, national and provincial level here. And there is also provision later on in the bill for local initiation structures where provinces make use of them. To give the responsibility to the provincial houses may be a bit challenging. Firstly, we do not have provincial houses in all the provinces. That's the one challenge. Secondly, at the moment, and Mr. Sithole will be better placed to advise, but provincial houses, like the national house, they form committees. They deal with certain matters, committee on legislation, a committee on this, a committee on that. There's nothing that prevents them from doing that in any event.
And
of course, if you were to provide something formal, it should be done in the legislation establishing the provincial houses.
Okay.
Then we move to chapter 3, role players.
We are great with all of that.
Yes.
Traditionally, there's one to be accommodated whenever. They want also payment.
Yes.
And the car. I'm going to send everything you said today. I'm going to send everything you said today to King Ben.
No, don't forget, Alexander, there's no king. I'm not a king man in general. I'm a Republican. I'm just a Republican. All these things is rooted fine for black people. I'm not a Republican. I've got absolute respect for traditional leaders. But they must not form myself. I like them. They're so smart people.
Okay. Chapter 3, the role players. Can you continue? The initiation role players described in this chapter do not include the district initiation forums, local initiation forums, and initiation working committees that already exist in some areas.
We have covered all of them.
Yeah. So we do away with this one. And on issue 3.1 on government, it says the bill should make it explicit that this clause will apply in instances where there is no recognized traditional leader who is the custodian of land in that particular jurisdiction.
In fact, Chair, that particular sub-clause 2, it's on page 16 of the bill. It says that the metropolitan district or local municipality may, upon the request of the principal of the school, so they don't act on their own, it's upon the request of the relevant principal of the school, so they are included.
Okay.
The Act is saying the ministers, but then the suggestion here is that they say the PICC, not the minister, should make a determination on the payment of the initiation-related fees in consultation with the relevant communities and structures. The determination of exact fees should depend on provincial or cultural peculiarities and not to be a one-size-fits-all. Government should also contribute to the funding of customary initiation in the same way it is contributing to medical male circumcision.
Remember, the PICC consists of a major of traditional leaders. So we can't allow
that. However, we also are providing medical facilities, isn't it? So at this one, the funding is already being catered for because there will be medical doctors that will be there in a place.
Chair, I think we will get there when we go through course by course, but also important maybe to note at this stage that this is one of the different clauses, because once the Traditional Health Practitioners Act is in full operation, the Minister of Health will actually be determining the fees.
Clause 23D says where there are no formal recognized traditional leaders, as in the Western Cape, the bill should accommodate traditional leaders whom their initiation practicing community recognize, or elders who have a demonstrable record of accomplishment in initiation related practices. Alternatively, appoint a credible organization to perform the responsibilities stipulated in this section. So let's go to clause 23D.
It says,
if in respect of functions contemplate.
Is clause what?
23D.
Page 17.
If in respect of functions contained within subsection 2, D, it says, initiate takes place in an area where there are no traditional leaders. The PICC must assign such function to a member of the PICC or its technical support. So here they're saying that we must take cognizance where there is no, where there are no traditional, like the issue of Western Cape.
I have a problem with this proposal because 20 subclause 2 talks about the screening of principals, traditional surgeons, caregivers, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And basically what 3 says is if there's no traditional leaders, then the PICC must decide who is going
yeah.
to do it. I'm absolutely happy with that. I think
yeah.
it is the right way to go. We can't now have some arbitrary person say, well, I've been doing it for 20 years, I'm the right person to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think we can move to clause 21, principals and caregivers. This one, the comment is that in the absence of initiation school principals, such as in the Western Cape, the bill must be given legal recognition and clearly defined responsibility to initiation forums and related structure who perform the responsibility of managing the initiation schools. However, this will be the role and responsibilities of the PICC, isn't it?
Question on that.
I'm not sure who's cheering at the moment. Okay. So, if there is no traditional leaders in a community, and this is, I'm just trying to read what they're saying here. Even in the Western Cape, you'd still have a principal of a school. I mean, this whole proposal is premised on the fact that. This whole bill is premised on the fact that every school must have a principal.
Yeah.
So this proposal is then just ridiculous.
There will always be an overseer to all the schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can check.
Yeah.
Just to add, in clause 37.1, we're making provision for specific provincial peculiarities. Because we became aware over the years that in some provinces they may not necessarily refer to the, let me call it now, the head of the school as the principal, but they have another terminology that is. And clause 37 deals with that to say, you know, the premier can indicate in province A, B, or C who is taking the responsibilities, known by another name, but who is that person that will take responsibilities in that province for the principal. And then all the provisions of this law relating to principles for caregivers, whatever the case may be, will apply to that particular person.
Yes, I agree. In each and every, there will be an overseer, whatever name they give. But then what do we do with this one? Say, we don't support it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we can continue.
We're on clause 22, which deals with parent or legal guardian. Clause 22.1b, they say we must delete the option of not being circumcised at all. Circumcision is an obligatory, not optional, part of the male initiation process. Mm. Well, we do not agree with this one, isn't it? So it's gone.
national traditional leader. You want to circumcise every
one. Okay, let's go to clause 24.2b.
Sorry, we also don't agree with 22.4a.
Yes. The current legal or customary guidance contemplated in this clause should only be those that have undergone.
Parent is a parent is a parent.
Okay, we're on clause 24.2b, medical practitioners. They say it is impractical for medical doctors to supervise experienced surgeons with a good record of accomplishment. The Department of Health should assist with the training of traditional surgeons. Ongoing is a good practice. However, how do we say that they must be supervised. And it's not an issue of age, it's not an issue of experience, it's an expertise, a medical expertise that somebody has.
We're all on the same principle here. We all agreed that the circumcision part is a medical procedure and must be either practiced by or supervised by a registered medical practitioner. If that's the case, then this falls away. I mean, I think everybody in this room agrees that a medical practitioner must, at the very least, be present.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree.
Why?
We must also take into cognizance that this practice is busy. And there are people that have been doing it even though they were not medical practitioners. So we must accommodate, and that's why we put the issue of the age. We said that it must be experienced, but it must be over this age. So now if we just somersault and say, no, nobody else except the medical tradition will create that problem.
They must be assisted.
No.
Just
raise your
hands. Oh, sir. Yes. We are saying a number that they should do it in the presence of
If I can clarify, Chair.
Yes.
So a traditional surgeon could still perform the actual circumcision,
yes,
but there will be a registered medical practitioner, whether that's a doctor, and I think we've had some discussion about what a registered medical practitioner is. But there would be a registered medical practitioner to supervise and make sure that the standards are suitable to meet health requirements.
That's what I'm disputing. Because I'm saying currently, through you, Chair, that's what I'm saying, currently this practice has been done. So they are practicing. It's practiced by people who are not medical doctors. And it has been there. The only thing is that, besides those that are commercializing, but those people must be recognized, because the moment we start to interfere with that, we might be interfering with some of the traditional practices. You know, it can't be waiting. There are issues that they can do it well, and sometimes it's not even done by what you may think of. Traditionally, it's done with something else, but it still gives the same result. That's why I'm saying we must also open up that scope of those senior traditional leaders that are doing. Let's take aside those that are commercializing the youth and everybody else at this party. But we must not close that space. I also support the issue of the medical, the traditional doctors. That element of just removing all the traditional leaders like that, it will create a problem.
Sorry, I think maybe we need to clarify this to Honorable Mthethwa. We are not saying experienced traditional surgeons, they are going to do away with them. But we are saying medical practitioners must be there just to supervise.
Mm-hmm. provide food.
Chair, one of the issues that we had, and we heard this example when we were doing public hearings, was where 200 boys get circumcised with the same knife without it being clean. Now, if one of those boys has got a disease, it causes an illness in all the others. Okay? If there's a medical practitioner, he will make sure that the knife is sterilized, that it's properly sharpened and the like, before, he won't interfere. He will just make sure that the standards are being upheld. The surgeon can carry on and do the actual job, but the medical practitioner is there to make sure that there is no danger to the health of the young men that are being circumcised. And that's really what it boils down to. If we can make sure that that's the case, you know, you mentioned that we don't always know what instruments they're using. I mean, I've heard of situations where sharpened bone is used to do the actual circumcision. Now, if you don't know, bone itself is inherently unhealthy. It can carry diseases, infections, bacteria, the like. You can't sterilize bone, really. So these are issues that we need to have proper medical people to make sure that, yes, traditional surgeon can go and do the thing, but is he using the right equipment? Is he doing it correctly? And that's as far as it goes. So long as there's someone there to make sure that the standards are being met, no problem. And it's only for the circumcision part of it. It's not for the initiation school, it's just for the circumcision.
But then we must also understand that during the consultation with the communities, they said, who's going to pay for the medical doctors to go there? That is why maybe the underlying sentence, it says the Department of Health should train these traditional surgeons. I'm not sure how are we going to go about doing it. I agree that yes, there must be supervision, but who's going to pay for the medical doctors? That's what they were quizzing about. Then they would say, if they are going to pay for the medical doctors, they must also pay for the traditional surgeons. We must just balance it.
You know, my disagreement, Chair, is that even if you are using bones, if they were using bones and these bones still give the same result, let's respect that. I'm not comfortable about, I accept there are medical doctors, things can be done professionally and good. But if you find some traditional leaders that are doing things in their traditional way, in such a way that they can still come up with a very good same result without any harm, let's respect that. Why do you have to monitor those people when they are doing their culture in their own way and they are doing it correctly? So the moment you put one senior than the other, then you are creating some problems there. And they can go and discuss in their forums, but to ensure that both systems work well. But not necessarily to say, you monitor this one. If you say no, then they must, you know, always you declare dispute. That's the only part that I'm not happy about, to de-recognize the traditional method of doing this practice. I'm not supporting the wrong part.
Okay. I think, Chair, also the last part, as you've alluded to, that where they're saying they're requesting the Department of Health to assist with the training of traditional surgeons, maybe that will also assist with the hygienic part thereof that we're having concerns with.
I think the training part of it can come after they have been trained, then the traditional then they would be knowing what to do. but from the very outset, it will be very, it will not be good for us in this way, because the thrust of this bill is to protect the initiative from them. And therefore, I should think
it becomes an ongoing process.
To amend again the bill. We are busy with the bill. We should not do things that we say tomorrow, then we are not going, we are going to change. No. It's not about voting. I think it's not about voting. It's about the spirit of understanding this thing. I was saying the concern of public out there was who's going to pay for the medical doctors when they go there and supervise. And Nyambo's argument is that for centuries, these traditional surgeons were there. Some of them, they did a good job. And the argument here is that they are saying the Department of Health must continuously train these traditional surgeons. So I think maybe we should say it should not be compulsory that the medical doctor should be there and the traditional surgeons should be there. If they are trained, the traditional surgeons, then I don't think there will be a problem. I'm not sure.
I think the right to life also is imperative. So in all fairness, we recognize the traditional surgeons that they've been there from time immemorial. However, life has been lost in a process, and that we must take cognizance of. Therefore, I think medical doctors, at the initial stage, as is currently in our country, they need to be there. And maybe as an ongoing process, after the Department of Health has made the necessary training, they can be phased out.
But it's a reality that we must not also forget that also the medical doctors, there are people that have lost life through their negligence. So there's nobody that can be blamed. I understand good people the issue of those that are making money out of the youth and everybody that's talking about. But in the areas, I was in COPSA. They told me that for the past 10 years, they've never had anybody in that area. But they are doing their own traditional way without the medical doctor. So now if you come up with a bill and say, no way, even those that were doing good in their traditional way must be monitored by somebody else that we don't know where they get. We can still also commit mistakes. And my only slight differing view here is just the one to monitor the other. But I fully support the issue of the medical doctor. I fully support it. But it must not be superior than the other to say you can't do it without them. No. There is a culture here that we must respect, and there are people that have been doing this in a very good way. It must be respected. Because otherwise, if the bill will do this practice, the practical part, without a doctor and something happens, They will ask you, was the doctor there, medical doctor there? No, they automatically, this is an offense, a guilty charge. We must avoid that. And people must have a choice. And I knew that if you can put a choice, most people will go to the medical doctors, you see. But it doesn't mean that those that they still want to go through the bonds that you talked about, they must not go through that bond. They must not go that route because there's a pride in it. There are many on this thing. Those that have gone through certain bonds, some of us come through those challenges. So it must not be treated as if it's something that has not happened. It happened. Let's protect it. Let's allow it to be done in a correct manner.
Chair, I'm sorry, I just need to correct Honourable Mthethwa on something here. And that is, he might have spoken to people who said that nobody's died in Kokstad initiations, but I can tell you that that area is one of the worst areas in the country for initiate deaths. Alfred and Zor District Municipality and the surrounds is one of the worst in the country when it comes to initiate deaths. 70 plus children last year. That's not acceptable. Now, what we are talking about here is the lives of young men. And we cannot uphold tradition at the expense of the lives of our children. We need to say tradition comes second to their life. And you know what? I'm going to be blunt. It comes second to their manhood too. Because these practices that Honourable Mthethwa is talking about have resulted in people with deformations and amputations and the like. And that's not acceptable. And if the presence of a medical practitioner saves one life, I am prepared to put that ahead of tradition. I am prepared to say it's more important than the right to have my penis circumcised with a piece of bone or a rusty knife or the same one that 200 people before me have used. That's the extent that I'm prepared to go to. Now, I realize that I can't speak on behalf of many of the traditional communities, but I can speak on behalf of mothers, on behalf of children, on behalf of young men who have to face this. And I think that we need to be responsible here. And we need to take a decision. We can't keep going around and around in a circle. Do we support this or not? And right from the start, we've said that the position has been either a medical practitioner must do it, or if a traditional surgeon does it, then a medical practitioner must be present. That's it. We're not saying a traditional surgeon can't do it. We're just saying that they must be present and supervising. And if there's a problem, they can step in and rectify the problem immediately, rather than having to rush the child to a hospital 200 kilometers away or whatever it might be. So I think we need to be responsible legislators here and say, we accept that there are cultural issues here. We accept that there are norms and standards. But the lives of the young men in question are more important than this.
I'm not sure what is the problem. I thought Mthethwa says he's not rejecting the medical part of it. But I think the point that he's raising is that they will work together. They will work together. It's not opposed to what the summer of Malem is saying, because I thought we agreed already that when it comes to circumcision, our traditional surgeons under the supervision of the medical trained people can do that. No one should take the right for traditional one to do their work. They will do their work, but from time to time they'll be monitored by the medical trained individual to assist us on that. The point that Mthethwa is raising is that there are some of our traditional surgeons that are doing a good job. I think they'll continue doing that. There'll be no problem about that. They'll reduce, in fact, the need of taking doctors to come and oversee them if they perform very well. But the Department of Health, I think we have agreed that it's going to train them, because they'll be identified, they'll be trained, the more they are trained, the more they perform very well, the medical people will disappear over time. They will go and do their work. Anyway, we don't have many doctors in South Africa. I know what I'm told. Therefore, we must ensure that they work in that area. I thought Mteta is taking a principal point that no one is superior than another.
Yes.
And I think we all agree that no one is superior than another. But there will be observations to work on the situation. I think that's what we are doing. Yeah.
And also clause 24.2, it gives options.
Yeah.
It says, for the purpose of subsection 1, the parent or legal or customary guardian often initiate, as the case may, after consultation with the principal of that particular initiation school, invite a male medical practitioner to perform circumcision on any male initiate or to supervise the performance of such circumcision as contemplated in 27.6 within the confines of custom and tradition of the particular community. And B says, if the parent of a legal customary guardian does not invite a medical doctor, as contemplated in paragraph 8, the principal of the particular initiation school must arrange for a medical practitioner to perform circumcision or supervise the performance of such circumcision as contemplated in section 28.6. So you have options as a parent whether to use your traditional surgeon or to use the medical doctor.
I think Mteta is covered, was raising that point really, that people will be equal in terms of their custom and traditional, but also some observation on that. It's also true anyway that people died also in the hands of medically trained individuals. But for these purposes, I think we have agreed that what kills the young male or initiate is the circumcision part of it. So you may also observe people who simply died without circumcision in those schools. Very few at the age. It's because of circumcision, sometimes it's done wrong, and then the bigger problem that happens. Once they pass that stage, generally, everything goes well. I think if we do it well, from circumcision part of it, then the initiation process becomes very smooth. I think that's the point that was raised in there. I think it was in Lipum, when they were saying 55,000 or 53,000.
53,000
went there. Of course, they go first to medical, and then they go to the mountain for initiation, broadly. None of them anyway died. I think that's a combination of that. I think they're modernizing it better. And those who don't want to modernize, don't modernize it as we move on. That's why the law is necessary. In fact, if there was no law, in fact, we're not going to drive your car with 60 by 60. There's law. The law has changed you now. I think I can see now the way you drive. You are driving extremely well because there's law. If we say that people will change by nature, we think a problem. But law changes people. And law changes people anyway. It's one of the reasons why there's law for that you need. To change people nicely, don't undermine their culture, their traditions, but also don't emphasize the rituals, it is their culture. And then we must separate all these things and show things that work. I think Honorable Mteta is covered, is very happy with their bonds. And then we monitor them from time to time. The more we train them, the better. Of course, they can't be trained, so if the government doesn't pump some money, Department of Health will do that for training purposes, because that is very important for us. In fact, we'll reach a stage where we don't need to oversee them when they're doing work. They do work perfectly. Then when children are sick, of course. So they agree that people before going to them, they will go for medical checkup first, and then this thing, and sugar diabetes, and then things are happening now. I'm sure that the child at higher primary school is supposed to be 9, 10, 11. Now they will have the sugar diabetes, they will have hypertension. It's very clear that we can't take it for granted because it's taller. In 1960s, we didn't experience this, we can't experience it now. Things are changing and the law must change you. Dube must change your law. Otherwise, if we say Dube will change by nature,
Shell would have a problem with Duwe for many years to come. That's why he's here in Parliament. He knows that he can't stand up there and talk. Must raise a hand. Then Duwe raised the hand now, and they also bow because he questioned, why are we bowing? This thing is a European weapon. But he bows, eh? Because we are changing. What else do you want us to do now?
Let's proceed to 25-1A. I think here the concern is on South African Police Service and National Prosecuting Authority. They say the provision regulated in this clause is a well-established procedure and is not necessary to specify in the bill. It should suffice to provide that the SAPS investigate the complaint.
I remember the discussion at the public hearings when the stakeholder engagements where it was that part of the clause that talks about the docket that must be referred. But I also remember that when the SAPS raised it, NPA said there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And if it's standard practice, then it has no, there's no harm in having it there in the clause.
That's the only thing.
So 25-2C says the bill should provide for a procedure after the school's closure in terms of this clause, as the failure to do so could provide a practical concern, such as a need for medical treatment.
It's
right. Yeah.
15.
Okay.
Let's move to chapter 4, initiation of schools. On 26-2, they say this provision is impractical.
This provision is impractical as registration can easily become heavily bureaucratic. Rather, the registration certificate should be due for renewal every 5 years. In the Amaxosa, there is no controlled area for practicing initiation. Any secluded area can function as an initiation place, and therefore registering a school in this context is impossible.
Leaving the difficult ones to me. Look, the issue about whether the registration should be for a season or for a year or 5 years is something that was discussed many, many times over the years of research and development of the policy that preceded the bill, etc. And I think ultimately the majority support was for season to season, for the fact that, first of all, some of these schools, they do not take place at the same place every time. They move to another place. So they may not necessarily meet the requirements that they met, let's say, for this year. They may not meet the same requirements for next year, whether it's the same venue or whether it's a new venue. And that is ultimately where it was decided that these provincial initiation committees that will be established, they will be best suited to go and establish, yes, do they meet or do they meet the requirements, and then issue it the season. That was the one issue. The other one was, the bill is not prescribing exactly where the initiation must take place, as long as wherever it is meets the certain minimum requirements, such as the provision of sanitary, water, sanitation, food, whatever the case may be, as long as it meets those requirements. The bill doesn't say it must be in this particular location or in another particular location. So in my view, I think the bill is fine as it is.
I just think it doesn't cause any harm anyway. The registration is very, very important because chance cars are too many. But also in public hearing, it was very clear that people are concerned about money making. That initiation school has become a money-making. As a result of that, unqualified people, they simply go, they just make money. not even to take care of life of the initiates. I think that's an issue that's also important. Yeah.
Okay, let's move to clause 27, initiation seasons.
That's a big issue.
It says, proper initiations require at least 2 months. This clause is not doing justice to the custom if it confines it to relevant provincial school holidays and official school terms. Conduct initiation school in winter to facilitate the healing process. And the other one is amend this clause by adding off working age. But for me, initiation has been happening whether it's school holidays or not. There has always been an initiation season. And we cannot be regulating that. People must still do initiation as they've been doing it.
But in terms of the period when this distancing, the logic is that if this distancing is in July, in July, then there is no interaction of the education information. That's what the intention is. If they talk, for instance, they would actually have a common timetable in the year.
I understand, sir, but however, it's an issue of preference. Either do it in December. We know that most of the courses will be doing it now in December. However, others prefer it in June. And in June is actually most preferable time because healing is easier. However, we cannot now come and stipulate the season.
Chairperson, thank you. I think the season is really happening both in summer and winter, depending on the situation. On that basis, for instance, you can't take people to initiation school in 6 days around Kwala in winter. There is a high of COVID. So that is why it then changes. And then on the issue of the period or the duration of the initiation school, from the department, we prefer that it be aligned with the school term. However, Chairperson, other cultures, the very same Limpopo where honorable members making the example, you've got two communities there, amongst others. You've got the Pedi community and the Ndebele community, which Ndebele takes 2 months. And when you go further down in the Mpumalanga area in Middleburg, you find the other Pedi Parakibakuni. They take 6 months.
6 months?
So those are issues that we are trying to regulate. For instance, their initiation school around Middleburg will go out in May and come back beginning of September. Because they've got different initiation within the initiation school. If there was a person who's grew up with a Pedi culture, we tell her there's this thing called Bukwera, which takes a certain period of time as well. So I'm just trying to bring the different dynamics, which as a department we're trying our level best to say whatever that is happening, let's align it with the school holiday so that there is no much disruption that is taking place in the school holidays. But bearing in mind that there are such cultures that to a large extent they say 2 months, others.
Say, within the village, it's not even 2 months, it's more than that because they would start a month before to be initiated into the process and then come the actual time. And at the end of it, when they come back from the mountain, if they are 20,
they must take say a monthly one. All of us are accompanying her to her place, not her cattle. The next day she said, until the whole people in the village was not at her cattle for them. So it takes too much fighting with the king, my son.
Yeah, well, when it's wrong. When you're a principal.
Yes, say this is wrong.
Chair, I take note of the culture and traditions, but I am concerned, and the example of 6 months is problematic, because if you take a young man out of school in his matric year for 6 months, that young man is going to fail. He's going to fail. And when they fail matric, they don't go back. They don't go back. We know this. We see the dropout rate in schools. So while I accept that culture is important, I think that the whole idea here is to say, well, if you can't do it in one school holiday, maybe you must do it over 3 school holidays, that every school holiday you go and spend a month with, I don't know, I'm throwing a solution out here, but we can't allow tradition and culture to be more important than young people's future lives and education and things like that. And so we must try and make sure that it fits into the school timetable and the school terms. I really don't want people to see this as saying, no, we must do away with tradition and culture. No, not at all. But we must try and make sure that our young people's education is primary. I cannot for a second condone a young man taking 6 months out of his school year to go and go through an initiation school, and it's going to affect whether or not he gets a job down the line. I can't agree with that.
Chair?
Yes.
I think it's also catered for. We're saying that initiation season must be held during the relevant provincial school holidays and may not interfere or overlap with official school terms. And 27.2 said, if an initiation school commences before a school holiday or continues beyond a school holiday or is held outside the period of initiation submitted to the PICC as part of the application process, the relevant principal is, in addition to the provision of Section 33.4, also liable to suspension from holding initiation school for a period as may be determined by PICC.
That's a solution.
Yeah. Chair, why don't you say the PICC must look the applicant, which is the initiation, to say those cultures that confine, winter, and so on, that should be, if they are learners, within the applicant, that automatically must be pushed to December. See? Only those who are not attending school can be allowed, I think I'm trying to come up with a solution, because if we are not careful here, we'll end it up, like Honorable Mehem was saying, we'll end it up denying, other people their right to learn. Because you can't pass matric, you were absent from school for a period of 6 months. It's impossible. You can't. In other words, we are creating leaders, uneducated leaders in our society. Yeah.
The community didn't say that.
No, wrong here, the student said that. We are creating the ignorant society, because the number of those learners, they won't pass matric, for example, even grade 11, you see. Now, what are we doing about that situation? I was saying it's okay. No, I don't think it's okay.
terms of the rules,
also
is out of order and can't challenge.
No. You are more than right. That's my main worry. We are discussing a non-issue. It's not what the community were worried about. Also, they are managing this thing very well without even a law. Parents appreciate schools, and then, in fact, none of them say that, no, I want so-and-so to be 7 months here. And then, that's what they were raising. Most of the things they were raising just water, more than other things. Water and hygiene of the area. And then I think that's fine. I think they've accepted that but others were raising an issue though that the problem of December is that they become because people were working and little bit home. But they were raising something that this thing has become umgalelwa on top of our food. So almost business. This month, and they're prepared towards that, nothing else. Got nothing to do with the customs and everything. It's precisely because society has changed. The society has changed about Dube. A principal of Dube would be a very useless principal to if in Ghana it's another 6 months, that's it. No, we would fire you, Dube. There's no doubt about that. I know that you're a principal of a higher primary. You can't be like that. But I just thought that two or three people raised the question of time, and then they accepted, you know, that school holidays are far better. In fact, they motivated the Limpopo one, said, no, the reason why we prefer when children at the primary school, 12 years or not, is that when they're in matric, they're not disturbed at all to do their work.
Yeah.
That's why then we wanted them younger. And then it's precisely because we want to avoid them being disturbed when they're at the matric and all. I think they're very clear. Society have solved their own problems anyway. I think the law should assist them to do it better. Otherwise, the problem That's a problem of the conservative approach. The society doesn't change. Society is much more changed completely. What we have to do is to do things to protect life. I think that's the point that we are saying. The main purpose, we want to protect life. Not undermining the customary part of things, but also should do it within the law. Because it's the supreme law of the country. And then nothing should be contrary to the supreme law of the country. I think we should just move on that understanding.
And I think most of the concerns that we are raising in clause 27 are addressed in clause 28. It says, we must replace the word, I think, on the heading there, the word circumcision with initiation. Yes, we can do that. Clause 28.1. It says, outlawing of forced initiation, particularly in instances such as kidnapping of boys, is welcome. However, this section disempower community men from continuing with the accepted practice of correcting unwanted behaviors by taking boys to initiation instead of formal correctional services. However, clause 28.1a say initiation is a voluntary customary practice and no person may be forced or coerced into attending any initiation school or undergo any initiation practice. No person may attend an initiation school unless all the relevant consent requirements of this section may have been complied with and a medical certificate contemplated in section 21C has been issued in respect of such a person. Any initiate who is 18 or older is responsible for obtaining the medical certificate contemplated in section 22 and must submit sensitive case to relevant principal and caregivers. So here I think our concern, okay, 28.3, it says a person between the age of 16 and 18 may not attend an initiation school for purposes of being initiated, unless such a person and his or her parent or customary or legal guardian, as the case may be, give written consent for him or her to undergo initiation. So the issue of school attending age has been has actually been catered for in this one. And clause 28.1c, they say the initiate should obtain the consent of parent or legal guardian before seeking to obtain the requisite medical certificate. That's what it's saying. Clause 28.2 says this clause should also accommodate cultures that practice initiation from ages of 8, 12, and 14. This would also need an amendment to section... This would also need an amendment to Section 12(8) of the Children's Act. Section 5 of this Act would also need amending to accommodate young girls below the age of 16 who willingly agree to virginity testing. But then we have the age of majority in our country, so this is outlawed. Yeah. Change this clause to read, no person of basic school going age should go to, we said that, should go to initiation. This will limit the underage boys and reduce school time losses. Okay, this is being attended to, so we're not keeping.
Let us go back to clause 28.
Clause 28. Yes.
Because the bigger issue that we must by and large try to resolve.
Yeah.
And then you must find whatever way that accommodates you. Because one thing that all of them were begging us not to do is to simply outlaw the 12 years, 8 years, that we would have to do so. And then I think they were very passionately about this matter only. And then we should find then, I think the team must find a way of accommodating this in a very nuanced way that will assist for everyone working within the law, but that is in a correct way. I think Amakhosi in the Mpomba, they were really passionate about this. In fact, they were saying, we accept the bill in total. You can improve the language, but on the age issue, please try to accommodate all of us. And then this is something that I think we must let the students see. Doctor?
Chair, this is probably the most difficult clause that we had to draft and deal with over the years also.
Yeah.
Exactly because of what you say. I think, let me start by saying, maybe from a principle point, we do not necessarily say it should not be below 12 or 12 and above. The challenge that we had right from the beginning is the Children's Act. And it's the linkage of initiation, when we get to male specifically, initiation with circumcision. The Children's Act prohibits it under the age of 16. So there's only two options that I can see, because we cannot in this bill, in my opinion, go against the Children's Act. The same way, by the way, that we can't go against the education laws with these school terms. There's only two options. Either the Children's Act needs to be amended by social development, and that should be a separate bill, I don't think, because it's a major, massive principle issue. I don't think it's something that even if they agree, one should just incorporate in this bill as an amendment to that act. That's the one option. The other option is to de-link circumcision from initiation. And to say, but that can be a customary challenge, because then it means you'll have to say that, for argument's sake, it's fine, people can go for initiation from the age of 12 and up, but they can't be circumcised until they are 60. And I believe in many, many customs and communities, the two are linked when it comes to male initiation. So that is the challenge. At this stage, Chair, we cannot go against the Children's Act. I understand the Department of Social Development was not here this morning. They were going to come. But I read their comments. And I was hoping that this is something that they would have addressed in their comments, which they didn't. It's something that over the phone I told them to be prepared for, to say, come with your department's view. Will you be willing at all to consider lowering the age for circumcision purposes when it comes to cultural matters? So as now, for now, Chair, I think we are bound by the Children's Act provisions as far as those two are linked together, the circumcision and initiation.
But they can apply for religious reasons.
The view, coming also from traditional leadership over the years, is that this is a cultural practice, and not necessarily a religious activity. It's part of the cultural practice.
But if we take a view that there are already provincial laws, I think the national law always supersedes the provincial law. But can't we have a flexible approach? Because in provincial laws anyway, they're not in line with the Children's Act. Because the same case is 18, other areas 12. Some federal say that 7 and 6, I think that's almost general. But can't we have a way where when it comes to this situation, we allow flexibility for provinces? Because they're doing it already. It seems there's no report against what they're doing. And then allow, because well, one thing that I think is going to cause real havoc is the age issue. Mm. And then all other clauses, people generally say improve it here and there, but at the age level is a big problem.
Chair, I think the simple solution is to insert an amendment into the Children's Act to say cultural or religious reasons, which would then open the door for this to be addressed at a consent level. But that would require the input and consent of the Department of Social Development. But I think that's the simplest way. If you just insert the word cultural or religious reasons, just expand that definition a little bit in the Children's Act. Again, we need to get social development on board before we can do that.
I agree with that. The thing is, because it is a departure of current principles, they will have to take it to cabinet also for approval. And they will probably have to consult first from their perspective, whether it's generally accepted by the public or not.
But the point that I want to raise, though, in Limpopo, they are continuing doing this at 12. Are they breaking the law? Are they breaking the law? Because at 12.
I don't think they act at the age. Chairperson, in terms of the Children's Act, they are against that act. But, Chair, we've always informed the department concerned that this is a non-collisionable act, especially when it comes to that. Because irrespective of what, the 30,000 per season that goes there, in Limpopo mostly are below the age. They're 12 years and so on. And that is not only in Limpopo, Chair. When you look at the states in all provinces, Eastern Cape is the one with the 18s and most part. You'll find some who are 16 years within Eastern Cape itself. You go to Northwest and Mpumalanga, those young boys who are below the age of 18. So basically, the 18 years in the Children's Act is basically theory to a large extent. So there's a need to work around that so that we accommodate those who are taking young kids, especially the good practice which is Limpopo. All those come back alive and healthy. So why can't we really take that good practice?
The easier solution, Jay, will be the proposal to put in that cultural exclusion in Children's Act with section that solves the idea of Children's Act. It will definitely be the easier
solution. It's going to take no less than 2 years.
Jay, my problem swimming was selective because, you know, in hospital, those who decide to take their kids to hospital, as young as 6 years, they do circumcision. And it's not an issue. No? I think we must find a way to reconcile this, because that would seem as if we are promoting the Western culture other than our own culture. That would be exactly the interpretation to the people. But as young as 5 years, even 5 years, bro, can take a child to hospital. 5 years, they do this circumcision.
But not covered no? by the medical reason.
But what about the Children's Act?
The interesting thing about the medical reason, when you speak with the officials, they will tell you when the purpose of the medical reasons is to say you have some kind of an illness, and to address it you need to be circumcised, or you want to prevent some kind of illness. But the fact on the ground is that people take their children there at any age to a clinic or a hospital, and I've not ever heard of any medical doctor that has refused to do a circumcision, irrespective of the age of the child, which means it is medical circumcision, but it's not necessarily for a medical reason, as the Children's Act is.
If I may, and I absolutely take the point. I think it's a valid point. I think that, but we need to actually do the right thing here. And while it may delay this bill, and trust me, there is no one who would rather see this bill be passed now than me, then I think we need to consult the Department of Social Development and insert that amendment into the Children's Act. Because I do not think we can afford to create a law that is unenforceable. And I think that was the mistake that was made during the Children's Act, the promulgation of the Children's Act, that they have inadvertently created a law that is not practically enforceable. So I think that we need to take the necessary steps to bring them on board.
Yeah. I suggest that we park Section 28 until proper consultation with other stakeholders on this one.
No, it's a difficult one. But generally, people are not even talking about it mostly. When they spoke about it, they said that is our culture, our tradition, we want to go ahead with it. That was the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chairperson, just for the information of the committee, there's a draft amendment here on the Children's Act. Now, that is that the department is proposing. But unfortunately, what we are talking about here is not covered. So it's not one of the proposals to amend. So maybe we
have to talk to them.
Yeah, they use that room while they are busy drafting on our amendment.
Three chairs have asked if it's in the mind. What is the status of it? Is it getting part of the body?
Not yet. It's still in the mind.
I think that's the last part. So in the 80s or 80s, in the
yeah.
If we wait for an amendment bill from the Children's Act, it's going to take forever. I'll be honest, I mean, it might take 6 months. It certainly won't get passed in this term of Parliament. I think that if we're going to do this, we must get their buy-in. Obviously, it may need to go through Cabinet and the like, but I don't think that that's necessarily a huge hurdle. But we can easily amend the Children's Act by putting in a clause that says this Act amends the Children's Act by inserting the words cultural or religious into that relevant section.
Is it possible to do it?
Let's have engagement with social development to agree on that one.
Okay, let us work it out then. The legal person and the territory you organize the work, the joint committee, and have a discussion with TAPA. That's when so that we meet and we work out some of these. We may persuade them to do because it's a difficult thing that is there now. But anyway, then it's a law that no one observes anyway.
and that is a very bad law. And okay, let us move. We'll come back to this one.
So we agree to pack 28, entire 28.
We'll come back.
Okay. And let us go to clause 29 that deals with discipline and teaching. The comment in this one says regulation should address the issues of discipline and teaching. And clause 29, 3A and B, it says, the comment here on it says, the National House recommends scrapping these sub-clauses as no one can prescribe what initiation school can teach, considering that initiation teachings and practices are sacred and secret and not subject to open discussion. This section is impractical and disempowers family responsibilities. Boys' teaching are a responsibility of a family, a relative, and a community at large. There is no school, no curriculum, no exam, and no invigilator.
This one is from
Mr. Besser, unfortunately, in our bill, we're saying must. So maybe 29.1A, we're saying that... Let's start at 29.1A. It says the principal of an initiation school and the relevant caregiver must ensure discipline among initiates at all times and must ensure that the teaching at such initiation school discourages misconduct. B says, if an initiate is guilty of misconduct, the principal must, subject to the provision of Section 28A, take corrective steps in accordance with custom of the particular community. Notwithstanding the provision of paragraph A and B, the initiate may, under no circumstances, be abused or assaulted under the guise of discipline. 2 says that any discipline imposed to an initiation school is subject to the standards contemplated in Section 19.2G. 3A, okay, saying... Yeah, it says initiation teachings may include cultural and religious element and should be aimed at teaching the initiate about the ancestry, belief system, the challenges and responsibility of adulthood, family values, national identity, national building, and social cohesion.
Okay. That's why.
Okay. Initiation teaching must be included in the curriculum to be submitted to PICC as contemplated in Section 15.1I. So we agree on this one. 4.5. The questions are on water, sanitation, food, healthcare, and liquor. The comment in the section 34A is that this section should also address the proliferation of drugs in initiation school. This clause should not refer to the selling of beer to initiate in the initiation school, as this does not happen in the first place. It may perhaps be enough to say that illegal activities are not permissible in initiation school.
Yeah, okay. We agree with the one on drugs.
Okay.
But on the liquor act one, do not agree with the comment made by the commentators, because to us it was important that there are instances where there's abuse of liquor in our country. And I think one of the main reasons why we decided to bring this clause in is that a lot of people, the majority of people, may not be aware of the prohibitions contained in the Liquor Act. And the fact that the Liquor Act has this massive fine that if you contravene certain provisions of it, like the ones that we hear are the ones that are contravened in some initiatives, the fine is a minimum of R1 million. The people may not be aware of that. And so it's good for them to take note that there's some serious consequences if you don't get that law.
Okay, the second one, it says, the reference to Section 10.1 of the Liquor Act is an unnecessary repetition of the provision of other legislation. Should there be an amendment to the provision in the Liquor Act, there is also the risk that the provision contained in this law will not receive commensurate attention since other departments administer the legislation. This will create unnecessary confusion, which the bill should rather avoid. This also applies in respect of the repetition of the Children's Act provision.
Yes. Chair, I take note of the comments here. I am a little bit concerned. What happens when you have an initiation school where you have people under the age of 18 mixing with people over the age of 18? And there is the sale of alcohol to some of the people. It creates an environment where the abuse of alcohol might be possible. In other words, where there might be peer pressure on a 19-year-old to give alcohol to a 16-year-old, or on a 16-year-old to actually drink alcohol by the 19-year-old. My point is that should we not just outright say that within the boundaries of an initiation school, just like in an ordinary school, you may not sell liquor except for the purposes of the sacrament as defined here in the Act, or some kind of ritual. I just think it would go a long way to safeguarding people more specifically than this reference.
Yes. Okay, no. Malayam, I think you're right. I think it was raised, in fact, in many public hearings. The question of liquor now. People in Federation, the people who visit, the initiates, they bring liquor. And then it's becoming a bigger problem, because once they are a little bit not sober, they start even teaching a business part. And then criminal elements come to I think they were raising this matter with a view, though, that we must not allow people to sell liquor in this initiation school. One way or another, we must take that. I don't think anyone of us would accept it, that they should be liquor in this school. I think we agree that they shouldn't be. Or anything, just the substance, whatever, liquor substance shouldn't be there. Because I think they were really raising stigma, and it causes a lot of problems. I think we should respect them. Let's take it down. Of course, there are circumstances that Malem was raising. Maybe a person wants to communicate with Malem. Malem in a spirit form. And,
see, I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet? No. Okay. I thought the spirits can leave their body sometimes when a person is alive. Okay, work on something on that one.
However,
the issue of
drugs. Alcohol. Drugs.
Yeah, principle.
Drugs. Normally we refer ganja or marijuana, but now there's the development. You see, I'm not so sure. How can you deal about this? Because in most of these initiations, you know, they are using ganja, which was before illegal, you know, to smoke a ganja. But now it's not a problem to smoke a ganja. I was still insisting.
No, no, private. Private home, not in another place.
But also in that area is private. It's a still in that school is a private place. That's a private place. It's not in public. No? That is why that it is not easy just to access the area. That means the private. Unless we explain the word private, what does that mean?
So we have we already drafted a clause to deal with this, the comment about draft. We already have a short clause that we drafted and we will present to the committee, but I think just for the honourable member's personal interest, you must remember that there's the court judgment, but the law has not yet been changed. So even be careful of use privately, because the law must still be changed. But once the law is changed, obviously they will remove, because there's drugs, a list in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, things I've never heard of in my life, but it's still there.
That
particular
one. You want to
know about that? Ask Dr. Bester. But we drafted something that basically says, you know, that no initiate or any person involved in initiation may, at an initiation school, use, possess, deal in, supply, or manufacture any drug as contemplated in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act. And then there will be a definition.
And also clause 4B, 34B caters that the ancestral sacrament that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It says in any instance where liquor is supplied for purposes of religious sacrament, which forms part of the initiation practice, it may only be provided to initiate to whom such sacrament applies, and only in the presence and under the supervision of any person referred to in section 10.2 of the Liquor Act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
And we don't end up with everyone.
On that, we talk about religious sacraments. Should we not just for the purposes religious and or religious or cultural sacrament? I'm just saying so that we're consistent with what we were speaking about earlier.
Yeah. I think I'll have to double check, but I think section 10.2 of the Liquor Act only talks about religion, not cultural as well. That's not enough religion.
Because initiation school really is a cultural thing, not religious.
That worries me. Yes.
Yeah, we should try to work it out one way or another.
But if we put a simple ban on liquor at initiation school, as you know, those of the listeners are talking about, then the whole thing should come out.
Yeah.
Then you cannot even allow for it.
Yeah.
I want us to move now.
Liquor means beer, brandy,
everything.
But what about Mtombot?
No, we dealt with it
here. Mtombot?
We agree that Mtombot is...
There's a switching at 2.
Huh? No, there's
a sitting at 2. 2 and Mkombo. From 1 at tomorrow.
No, just was one of
the nearly finished, Che. Come on, we nearly finished this section.
No, that's was one
of the things. Sorry. May I suggest that we I'm in support with the clause as it is. That beer or liquor that is required as admission for a specific ceremony or function that they have to be performed there. Not in a 25-liter whatever. That small
part,
so that they are able to pass through that particular...
Yeah.
Let's see if Dr. Bester maybe can work it out. Fine, I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
But the only problem, Che, is that when we are separating initiation from religion, because when we are talking alone, we're saying initiation is part of the religion, because that's where the young person connect with those who have passed on. So to a large extent, it is covered.
Chair, maybe a way around this is in the definitions, we insert a definition for initiation, or we amend to say that it is a quasi-religious practice.
What?
Quasi-religious practice.
But what does it mean?
It means that it is a partly religious practice. I'm just saying that then would then cover us from the religious perspective without having to go and amend all those other pieces of legislation.
Okay.
The other alternative also is to remove the reference on 42B of section 10. Therefore, we just use the cultural and religious agreement and not referring to section 10 as a separate clause.
Let's look at it.
Yeah. Let us deal with then...
The general provisions agreed. Let's move.
We are on death and death of initiate. That is clause 31. The concern here is that this clause should also provide for the role of the caregiver, as not all initiation school have principals. But I think we have moved away from initiation school not having principals. So this one is considerable. So let us go to 5.1 on offenses. That is 33.1c here, they say you must increase the duration of imprisonment to a maximum of 20 years. 15 years is too lenient.
Yeah.
We leave this to the courts. That's a determination of the courts. Not even us can make this determination as a lawmaker. 5.2 deals with appeals, section 34. On this one, the concern is that this clause should make it incumbent upon provincial officials to assist aggrieved persons with lodging appeals to the relevant premier. Okay. We did not agree to this one. So let's move to 5.3, which is clause 41.1, which deals with interim arrangements. Here they say the clause must also apply to traditional nurses. It says community structure directly involved in the initiation process should also be amongst those which the minister may consult with in determining the initiation registration fees and fees rendered to a traditional surgeon for his service.
Chair, I have no problem with 41.1 being amended to include traditional nurses. I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is amending 41.4a. The reason I have a problem with it is that it would become impractical. If the minister has to consult with all of those people and all of those local or community structures across the entire country, it's basically going to make it unworkable.
Well, I think that's the point that we'll be worried.
Also, we have CICC, that's going to do that.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
Chair, I think let me deal with that one first, the last one first. When the minister determines fees, remember I said earlier it's an interim arrangement in any event, those fees must first be published in the Gazette for public comment. So any of these body structures, whoever they are, may comment. But then let me deal with the 41.1. 41 is about interim arrangements.
Yeah.
And therefore, Honourable Milam, why we didn't include traditional nurses. The challenge, if you go through the bill, the part that deals with caregivers, which is what traditional nurses are, the caregivers, is comprehensive in dealing with what they must do, how they must be screened, what they must be comply with. The challenge at the moment is that the traditional surgeons are not registered in terms of the Interim Health Practitioners Act. And that's why this is just an interim arrangement dealing with them. So it, it doesn't deal, and it shouldn't deal with anybody else but the traditional surgeon. Next.
The best thing to do, Honorable Person, is to allow you to wait for lunch. We have applied anyway that we can meet until 4. Tomorrow until 4. But I just think that today we have done for the day. Because what we wanted to do is to consider public input. Because they've been complaining about this matter for some time, and we go to them, we never consider their input. We wanted today, just cross by cross, just look at what the public said about all these clauses. I think now we have dealt with all of them. We have agreed which one will improve public comment, which is very good. And otherwise, public participation, there will be a waste of money. So we go there, we listen to people, but when we come here, we just ignore everything that they've said. Doesn't mean that they also take everything that they've said, what may be wrong, they're not well informed. That was the main purpose for now. And then the first thing for us is to agree then that we are meeting tomorrow. We are meeting here? E27. Where is E27? We are allowed to be there. We have applied. E337, the new wing. Tomorrow morning, we start at 10. We then look at person from the parliament side also be there. And they'll be able then to take it close by close. But I don't see how this is going to take us too long. Because we have already dealt with what the community were proposing. We have indicated which areas will support, which areas we think they need a lot of work to take aside. We should just come back tomorrow to deal with the AG. I think we must sleep over this matter, lawyers, and the waiting that covers all of us. Tomorrow. I think there's no advisor will be with us tomorrow.
Almost 4 hours.
The one of saying that people that have made for Oscar, that's the worst part of the history for the lot of fantasy. I think he has read wrong because he has also talked about the Apollo 50. It's not part of Oscar. So I'll teach my Venice friend here the district and the
option though.
Now it's not part of Oscar traffic source. Yeah, the next door is not part of the team of the Zulus normally goes there once a year just to say thanks to him.